The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. But it's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Monday, 24th day of June, 2013. Let's take a quick look at the numbers. The Dow down 203 points. The S&P down 27. The comp off by 5. Gold is down $10 and crude off by 8 cents. Let's get rid of that echo. And let's see if we can find our chart. There we go. S&P 500, E-mini futures, hourly chart. All right, I hope you had a great weekend. I hope you spent some quality time with the family. I know you're in church on Sunday, but I won't give you a hard time about that, right? Okay. If you're new to the show, if this is your very first time, welcome. We're sure glad to have you with us. If you have any questions about what's going on, what the format of the program is, how things work, whatever it might be, just type it into the chat box, okay? You have a bit of anonymity. The only people who can see what you type into the chat box are myself, Michael, Bert, if he happens to be in the room. And so don't hesitate to ask a question. If it's something, a market you want to see or an indicator that you have a question about or part of our methodology, anything at all, type it in. What we promise not to do is to be angry, bite your head off, make you sorry you asked the question. See, sometimes that happens in these types of environments. But we have a commitment to treat everybody with dignity and respect, even those we don't agree with. Even those we heartily disagree with, we still we still treat you nice, all right? Hey, buddy, what's up? Okay. All right. I'm going to go to the chart in just a minute. I'm going to start out with our good word for the day, and that comes from Deuteronomy 6:18, and it's about standing up and being counted. Here's what it says, and you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6:18. Let's talk about keeping up with the Joneses for a moment. Where did that term originate? Well, there was a comic strip called Keeping Up with the Joneses in the New York Globe. The strip was first published in 1913, and it became popular quite quickly. The Joneses in the cartoon weren't based on anyone in particular, and they weren't portrayed in the cartoon itself. Jones was a very common name, and the Joneses were merely a generic name for the neighbors, whoever your neighbor might be. Society today is very much caught up in the comparison game. What's that guy? Look at the, you know, when somebody at work, if you work in an office with where everybody kind of has an idea what everybody else makes. Now, this is what always struck me. Now, when I ran a company with 50 employees, I had a firm rule. If anybody ever comes to me and tells me that they know what you make, the only way they can know that is if you told them. And if that happens, I will terminate you on the spot. Because I think there's no greater way to create animosity within a company than when people know what other people are making. Now, in publicly traded companies, the salaries are public knowledge. But in a privately held company, it's nobody else's business what you make, because it creates envy, paycheck envy. And then when somebody pulls up with a new car in the parking lot, well, how did he do that? Well, he must have got a raise. He got a bonus. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So I've always been mystified by private employers that do allow their employees to openly discuss their compensation. But let me not stray too far from the comic strip, Keeping Up with the Joneses. Now, while the term to keep up with the Joneses may have begun in the 1900s, it still seems to be the goal of many in the 2000s. Children compare clothes, electronics, tennis shoes, curfews. Adults compare cars and vacations and promotions while smiling and patting each other on the back. Work and moral ethics may be compromised because my boss does it or the guy at church does it. But you and I both know that doesn't make it right, now does it? Too many times we justify our actions because we are comparing ourselves to the wrong measure. God's word gives us the proper standard. Everything else will always fall short of the goal. Now, sometimes life requires us to stand up and be counted. Face it. There'll always be somebody who's got more money than you, a more palatial estate, or somebody who perhaps even is a little better looking than you. Sometimes we must choose between immediate gratification or a denial of self. Sometimes we simply go against the grain because our goal is to please God, not man, or even ourselves. In the long run, we'll be a better person and we'll be blessed for it. And that's our good word for the day. This chart, if you can't see the chart, you need to go to cfrn.net, and on the right-hand side of the page, click the big microphone, follow the instructions. Once you're registered, you'll be able to see the chart and participate in the discussion. Everyone has to register once a month, And it's hard to believe I'm saying it, but in just a few short days, we'll all be registering again. It seems like 5 minutes ago, I was warning everybody that June 1st was coming up and we had to all register again. And now here it is, July 1st, almost, and we have to all register again. And Michael, what day of the week does the 4th of July fall on?
I think it's on Thursday. Let me just check. So I'm pretty sure.
We've got a really short week coming up next week, guys. In fact...
Oh. No, it's on Tuesday.
Boy. That's even worse. So here's what's going to happen. People are going to start leaving Thursday night to go to their vacation homes. So Friday will be a slow day. The markets will be open. Don't get me wrong. But it'll just be, you know, I don't know. The markets are so volatile right now, people might forego the vacation. I don't know. So Friday could be quiet. Then we have Saturday, Sunday. And then with the 4th of July being on a Tuesday, I doubt many people are going to work Monday, except those who have to. And Tuesday, markets are closed in celebration of Independence Day. And then Wednesday, the markets will, or in fact, Tuesday afternoon, the Globex session will open for Wednesday. And so we'll have a full session on Wednesday. But I suspect that some folks and some traders may just take the entire week off next week. So we'll see what happens. We'll trade our way through it. Michael, do you have any plans at all? You and I haven't discussed that.
The actual holiday, I think, I just got an invitation to go down to Connecticut. But that was pretty much it for me. The actual holiday, the rest of the week, I plan to be here.
Okay. Yeah. Well, as far as my wife, she'll be off 4th of July, but she's working every other day. So I'll be here as well. So, guys, we'll be here for you. Live trading room. And for some of you who actually have the week off because of the holiday and you haven't been able to take the free trial because you have a day job, this might be a great opportunity for you to actually get into the live trading room and spend 4 days with us. Again, we won't be open Tuesday, 4th of July, because the markets will be closed, but the other days we'll be here. Okay. So this chart in front of me, the hourly chart, let's back up just real quick. I'm only going to go back as far as Friday right now. On Friday, we had a tweet to consider being short below 1590. Now, that thing triggered and was very, very good to us. We had a nice move down. We went back to test the important area at 1590, sold off again. We had a 19-point trade, an 8-point trade off of the 1590. This 9-pointer here, I'll talk to you about that. See, this here... on the pullback, this only went to 88.50. That was a point and a half away. That's not what this 9 is about. I'll go into that later in the show. Now here, this little skinny day, that's Sunday, the Globex Open. Okay, let's talk about the Globex Open real quick. Here we go. Okay, last night on the Globex Open, I sent out a tweet. Globex Open, we will be tweeting the open tonight as we do most Sunday nights. Last week, our first tweet was to it was to be long above 1625 because I remember that trade. This was a picture of Friday's close, okay, right here, which you're looking at already on my chart. And the opening tweet last night, consider being short below 1575 if the opportunity presents. Now, the market started to look like it was going to perk up a little bit. So we covered ourselves on the long side. The market has perked up. Consider being long above 1587 if the opportunity presents. But the short side is still valid. So at this point, nothing had triggered. Okay? And this was about an hour into the Globex Open. So an hour or two. After that, things got active. Let's go back to that chart over here. 1575. So here's where price came down. Now this is the opening candle. Globex opened, so we had a little bit of a rally. Okay. Sold off, got down to 1575. And 1575 acted as pretty good support for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. We finally got down through it. On the first move down, we got to 1565. From 75 to 65. Now, keep in mind, these are hourly candles. The first move, good for 10 points, from 75 to 65. And then we got a retracement back up to test 1575. You hear me talk about it almost every time we have a tweet that important prices and important areas are almost always tested. This type of activity or movement doesn't surprise us. We kind of expect it. But we don't want to become complacent, okay? So we're just always on alert for it. And here it comes right back to 1575. Is it to the tick? Nope. It overshot it by one tick. The swing high was 1575 and a quarter. And then here we go again. This time we caught a swing low all the way down so far to 1553.50. Is that roughly 22 points, Michael?
I think it is, yeah.
Okay. Now, with that said, I did send out a tweet this morning at 1560, which said, consider locking in some or all profits on last night's tweet. At the very least, trail your stop by no more than 3 points. Currently, the market has made 15 points available, which actually exceeds our weekly goal by 5 points. We have a 2-point daily goal. That's what we teach the partners. And so on a 5-day week, that's 10 points. This trade on the initial move gave us 10. On the second move down, it gave us 22. If you heeded my tweet advice, if you were still in the trade, you got out here with 15, and it's still moving, okay? We said it last week. Let me just say it again today. These are the good old days. The markets are volatile. This type of action that we're seeing in the S&P 500, this is why the S&P 500 became the most traded financial instrument in all the world. Okay, the single most popular way to put on a trade. The average daily volume when I started trading the S&P 500 E-minis was, it averaged 3 million a day. There was a great falling away. We got down to an average daily volume of about 1 million. It's starting to pick up. It's back around 2, I think. But the volatility is what's important. I mean, the liquidity is so deep that most of us never even have to worry about that. Even when the market got down to 1 million contracts, most of us were more than covered. But now that we are on increasing volume and increased volatility, and there's two-sided action, and it's good trading. Now, the markets are down, and I understand that's not great for people with retirement accounts and 401ks. In those situations, we want to see the markets trade higher, but for intraday traders who are simply looking for opportunity, looking to not build a retirement. Now, you can build a retirement account in a declining market. In fact, if Mike Reed is on the show this week, if he's able to come on, I'll ask him to go into some detail on that. Because in his retirement account, I know that he has some double leveraged ETFs that allow him to profit from the short side of the markets in his retirement account. So I'll ask him to talk about that. But this is what we've got so far on the day session, and it's a good day. Headline-wise, and I'll go over some more of this in detail later in the show. If you stick around for the after show, we'll be talking this morning after Michael is done doing the daily recap. That's what he does every day. He walks us through each and every trade that we took in the live trading room. He covers the ones we traded in real time with real money in front of real people, and he points out the ones that got away that you might have been able to take advantage of yourself if you weren't bouncing from market to market. And let me say again, the reason he moves from market to market is because we want to show you that trade setup as many times as we can in the course of the 2 hours that we're in the live trading room each day. I was in a private message with someone this morning, and I said, you know what, do me a favor, because I know they were struggling a little bit with this. I said, just pretend, use your imagination, pretend that every trade he takes is on the S&P 500, because that's the market this person is interested in trading. I said, because it's the same setup, the same indicators, the same time frame. When he jumps from gold to crude to soybeans, don't even pay attention to the symbol up at the top of the chart. Just look at the price bars, look at the indicators, look at the setup, and look at the execution and the management of the trade. Because it's the same on every market. Nothing changes. The only thing that changes is the symbol. And that person had an incredible aha light bulb moment, like, whoa, how's that even possible? Well, a lot of years of hard work, and now it's possible. So, and Michael will go over all that with you here in just a minute. We had a great day in the live trading room. Great trading, Michael.
All right, thank you.
California tells Bitcoin you better cut it out. California Department of Financial Institutions is going after Bitcoin. Forbes published a cease and desist letter that was sent to the Bitcoin Foundation, an organization devoted to creating best practices for the decentralized currency. Regulators accuse the foundation of being engaged in the business of money transmission. Well, here's the deal. The Bitcoin Foundation is just like an association, a trade association group. They're not involved in anything, so that's going to fall on deaf ears. Nothing's going to happen over that. But it's the beginning of what's to come. Mobile phones are making cash obsolete in Africa. Now, I wrote an article some time back for The Motley Fool that had to do with this very topic. In Africa, here's an example of a day in the life. Mr. Jones, I don't know the most common African name, so I'll call him Mr. Jones, rolls into a gas station to fill his tank, doesn't get out of his car, he punches a few buttons on his cell phone, and within seconds, he's paid for the fuel. With the same quick keystrokes on his phone, he pays for virtually everything he needs. Oh, by the way, his name is Barkhad Dahir, not Mr. Jones. He pays for his groceries at the supermarket. He pays for a few oranges from a market stall, a shoe shine on the street, a cup of sweet milky tea from a cafe, and even if he wants, an afternoon's worth of cot, a mild drug favored by many Somalis. Mr. Dahir, a local journalist, boasts everyone here has his own bank with easy access and no restrictions. Even lying in bed, you can be paying your bills. Here in one of Africa's poorest countries, Somalia, where illiteracy is high and traditional banks are almost non-existent, a mobile revolution has created an informal electronic banking system with more efficiency and convenience than anything in the U.S. or Canada. In the cities of Somaliland, the future has arrived. Cash is disappearing, credit cards are unnecessary, and daily shopping is speedy and digital. Almost every merchant, even hawkers on the street, accept payment by cell phone. It's an innovation that could transform the continent. Africa is leading the world in the use of mobile money, and its growth is accelerating. Now, the way it works is very simple. You just deposit money. The system is impressively simple and secure. Subscribers give an occasional lump sum payment to Telesom and then use the balance to pay merchants digitally. To make a purchase, they dial a 3-digit number, enter a 4-digit PIN, and then enter the merchant's ZOD number and the amount of the payment. every merchant, even street vendors, keep their ZOD numbers prominently displayed. Within moments, the customer and the merchant both receive text messages to confirm that the payment and the transaction are done. It's really amazing. When my first trip to Africa, I was blown away by when I drive down the street and there's all these little shacks. They're like shops, but these little wood shacks, and everybody was hawking cell phones and these little cards, these little phone cards where you scratch off the back and you put money on the phone. Now, a cell phone, this was before smartphones. This goes back to 2003, 2004. They didn't have smartphones, but they had phones capable of sending a text message. You could buy a basic cell phone there for about $8. And I didn't understand that this was how they did their banking, because most of the Africans can't get a bank account because they don't have enough money for the minimum deposit. They don't have the proper identification. But $8, you buy a cell phone, you put some money on it, and you're treated with the same dignity and respect as a wealthy person, because you've got money to spend. Edward Snowden was headed for Moscow, changed his mind. He's now asked Ecuador for asylum. This is a guy that spilled the beans on how our government has been listening in on our phone calls. Earlier, Ecuador's foreign minister, Ricardo Patino, who is in Vietnam, said on Twitter, now this is the world we're in today. The government of Ecuador has received an asylum request from Edward J. Pound, or hashtag Snowden. This is how the foreign minister of Ecuador told the world that they've been asked to give asylum to Edward J. hashtag Snowden via Twitter. And you wonder why I send out our trade ideas via Twitter. Well, apparently it's the thing to do. The EU has cleared ICE's $8.2 billion takeover of the New York Stock Exchange, Euronext, without any conditions at all. Just do it. And the last headline, just one hint from Ben Bernanke that the Fed would like to slow down its $85 billion a month purchases of Treasury and mortgage-backed bonds, and traders threw a tantrum. You're looking at it today. They sold stocks, bonds, and just about anything else they considered vulnerable from the new conditions. Throw in the ongoing cash crunch in China, and we have market turbulence continuing around the world into the new trading week. The bond purchases by the Fed have helped keep interest rates artificially low for a long time, providing traders with cheap money to make their bets. But have traders become so addicted to cheap money that they have lost the ability to think in a rational manner? Even a superficial grasp of the numbers involved tells us the situation is unsustainable. According to its last statement, the Fed is sitting on roughly $3.4 trillion in bonds. How much is that? $3,500 billion. We still don't know how much that is. 3.4 trillion is the same as $3,500 billion. Now that's a balance sheet that scares the living daylights out of many rational thinkers. The world needs to move back to normal interest rates. Most people accept that. The Fed has to try and unwind this position. It has far too much skin in the game. What happens to the value of the Fed's investments remains to be seen. And so, this is the beginning, guys. The S&P 500 and the Dow currently at two-month lows. How low can we go? Time will tell. Michael, it's all yours.
All right.
Oh, to those of you who received an email last night asking you to give us our quarterly review, let us know how we're doing. You know, if we're doing good, great. If you got some issues, tell us. We took it well, and some of you were very stern with your words. And that's we said, we don't blow smoke up your chimney. Don't blow smoke up ours, all right? Tell it like it is. And so we appreciate your feedback. And if you got that email and you've not had an opportunity to make that phone call, and leave that voicemail, I'm encouraging you to do so. Again, if you've got something good to say, wonderful. And if you have some constructive criticism, we want to hear it. Because we really do want to be the greatest trading company on planet Earth. And with your help, we're going to do it. Some might say we've already done it, but I want to be humble. All by the grace of God. Amen. All right. It's yours.
All right. You guys should be looking at my charts now.
Yes, we are, and I'm going on mute.
Excellent. All right. Got it. All right. Let me start the recording. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is the 24th day. It's Monday, the 24th day of June, 2013. We had some pretty good trading in the morning session today. We missed a whole bunch of wonderful trades, but we still managed to make over $500 a contract in the live trading room. We were plus 19 ticks on soybeans, plus 10 ticks on the Russell, plus 25 ticks on crude oil, and minus 6 ticks on gold. It took us 12 minutes and one trade to get to our 2-point target this morning, which was $100 a contract. And we took 13 trades. Took 13 trades in all today. All right. On the month, we are up. We are now up $4,002.50. $4,002.50. It's going to be tough for me to get above that level right there. I need a couple $1,000 days, but anyway, we have 4 days left to the month of June. 4 trading days left to the month of June, and I do want to apologize. Earlier, I was right when I said that the July 4th was on a Thursday. It is on a Thursday, and then I corrected myself and said it was on a Tuesday. I was wrong. June 4th is on a Tuesday. July 4th is on a Thursday. See that? More than happy to tell you when I'm wrong. right. So on the month so far, $4,002.50 per contract for the month of June. Okay. You guys know how much it costs to become a partner, right? It's less than that. It's less than that. It's less than that. It's less than that. It's less than that, even. Less than that. Look at that. Every month so far this year, we've managed to make more money in the live trading room than it costs to become a partner. How about that? All right. Enough on that. Let's get to the trades. If you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for the free trial. In the free trial, you'll get 5 business days in our live trading room. And you will be sent an email that shows you how to download all the indicators, how to download the charting platform, how to download all that stuff and apply it to your charts. Once you've done that, if you want my layout so your charts can look just like mine, just send an email to support@cfrn.net and I'll send you my current layout. I haven't saved it yet this morning, but I'll send you my current layout. And then your charts can look just like mine pretty easily, okay? All right. There. I'm sorry, I was just reading Frank's comment about me being wrong and correcting myself. The trades. Gold. Let's start with gold. Gold is where we made our 2 points this morning. Okay? That was the original 2 points that we made were on gold. There were some really nice trades here during the break. But we started out with a nice win right here on gold. We missed this trade right here, okay? Right at the open, we missed that one. And we jumped on this one over here, okay? The down close here, we took 10 ticks profit on that trade. That gave us our 2 points. After that, we lost a trade here. And we missed trades all along the way in here. We missed this short trade, actually, right here. We missed this short trade. We missed this short trade. That probably would have stopped us out if we would have gotten it. We missed this short trade. We missed this long trade right here. And this long trade. Now, all of that would have given us a whole bunch of profit on gold, but we missed it all. We were still plus 2 ticks until we got to here, and we lost another 8 ticks right here. And then we were minus 6 on gold on the morning. And that's where we ended on gold on the morning, was minus 6. All right. I want to back this out a little bit. I wanted to show you something. This is a big head, little shoulder, the neckline is right here is the neckline. Okay. There was one of these on the Russell this morning that I showed you guys in the live trading room. See what happens when you break that neckline? Way over here. Bang. Down. Now, that was gold. And I don't want to distract you by going off tangent there a little bit. Off on a tangent. Off subject. There were many more trades here. Gold has just been bouncing around quite a bit here in the last hour. Many, many, many more trades. All right, let's jump into crude for a quick second here so we can get the crude over with, and then I'll do the Russell. Because the markets that we traded today, gold, crude, soybeans, and the Russell, those were the markets we traded. You can see in here on crude oil, the first trade of the morning was right in here. I missed it. I missed that short. I missed this long up here. Actually, I didn't even want to take this long right here. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I saw it happening, and I said, I'm really not interested in it. I'd rather have a deeper pullback. And we didn't get a deeper pullback until like a minute later. Right over here, we got the deeper pullback. All right. I got into that, and I took some profit on it. I don't remember how much, but I did take some profit. If I look at it, it looks like I took 5 ticks. Yeah, it looks like I took 5 ticks, and then 10 ticks is what I took on my crude trades today. There was a short trade right in here that I missed, another one in here that I missed, another one in here that I took a little bit of profit on, 5 ticks profit. There was one in here that I missed. I showed that this was bottoming action in here. It did bottom for a little bit, and it fell back through again. Short trade in here that I missed, short trade in here that I got, took some profit on, and I'm in a long trade, not a short trade. Long trade in there that I took some profit on. Long trade in here that I missed. A long trade in here that I missed. Where's the other trades? You know what? I'm missing a couple of trades that I actually took. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I'm missing one trade. 1 5-tick trade somewhere. Anyway, we took profit on that trade right there. And I think we took 10 ticks profit on this one. We missed this trade. We missed this trade. Missed that trade and that trade. I mean, every one of these trades was making money. Every one of these trades making money. But we missed them all. If you were focused on the markets, then you should have easily gotten, you know, a whole bunch of profit out of these trades. All right? I mean, we got $250 a contract profit while we're answering questions from, you know, over 100 people and trading 8 different markets at once. And we still managed to get $250 per contract profit. Gold just had a nice trade again. So if you're focused, you should be doing better than I am. All right, now, let's see. On the Russell, we only had a couple, 3 trades on the Russell, 2 break-evens. All right, we missed some really, really nice trades this morning on the Russell. I was watching a crude trade set up when all this happened on the Russell. You know what? If I scroll back just a little farther, you can see right here on this move down, there are about 5 trade opportunities. On this move up, right here would have been a long opportunity. In the pre-market, there was just so much opportunity today. Now, here, we had a bearish cross, a test of the BBC with a down close, opportunity for a short. Same thing here, another opportunity for a short. Another opportunity for a short right down here. It changed directions. There was a long opportunity right in here that I didn't see. And, well, I'll get into that in a minute. There was a long opportunity in here that I didn't see. Over here, now the cycle was really headed down quite a bit here. I probably wouldn't have taken this trade if I had even seen it. There was a long trade in here on the up close above the trend line. Then it changed directions, and it went short in here and in there. And over here, I had I think I had started telling everybody about the head and shoulders pattern that was developing, right? This was a shoulder, this was a head, and it was going to build a shoulder over here. Is that where I did that? Oh, it was over here. It's over here that I did that. Hang on, I'm going to find the spot where I did it. There it was. Okay, it was way back there. Sorry, we had several head and shoulders patterns. It's odd that it worked out to be on the same line almost. All right, well, I got short in here on this one here, and I ended up taking a break even on the trade. It did have a bunch of profit in it, and I should have taken the profit when I could have, but it moved so fast that I missed it. Gold, for those of you guys who are partners who are watching the gold, it just nailed two moves down here for an easy, you know, $300 a contract, if you guys were on it. All right. As I was saying, I took a short trade in there, and then I had stopped watching it for a little while. There were some more trades in here. There was a beautiful trade right here. Okay, bearish cross test to the BBC, down close, bearish divergence with a red cycle. That was a perfect opportunity right in there for the short trade. Change directions, and right in here, opportunity to get long. I missed it. I missed that one. I missed this one over here too, obviously. These I try to do in real time. No, going back in and doing them in hindsight, anybody can do that. okay, we had long trades in here and in there, and down here I didn't like the way the cycle was looking, so I didn't highlight that area. Shorting opportunity right in here. Long opportunity in here for a very short move up. I don't know what I was looking at over here. I think we ran out of divergence on that one. Then this is where I drew the head and shoulders pattern. Because the way it was coming together, you know, my chart was this size. And the way it was coming together, we could see this shoulder and this head, and price dropped down through here. And I said, okay, well, it looks like it's trying to build another shoulder over here. Funny guy. You eventually, I was saying that it was building the other shoulder in here, okay? And I got short in here, and I took 10 ticks profit. Now, I drew this line. I said the neckline is right here. If it breaks down below the neckline, you should see a big move down. And I said the big move down should be, I think, to this level right here is where I was saying. 941.2 is what I was saying. And look at what happened. It went right down to 941.2. Dropped through it. I took a short in here. I ended up taking a break even on that. There was another shorting opportunity there that I missed. And then it changed directions again. Okay. But you see when the neckline broke over here? This right here was the opportunity to jump into that and take some good profit on that. But I missed it. And that was it. That was it for the morning session on the Russell. Okay, so we ended the Russell plus 10 ticks. We ended soybeans plus 19 ticks. I didn't do the soybeans yet. We ended crude plus 25 ticks and gold minus 6 ticks. Now, there were some opportunities in here on the ES this morning that I had highlighted. Let's scroll back. Did I just go right by them? Oh, you know what? They all got wiped out when I reapplied my template to this. Sorry. Well, I can show you the ones, it's hindsight, so I don't like doing it this way, but I can show you the ones that did set up. There was a short trade right here. There was a short trade right here. There was a long trade right here. Short trade in here. Another short trade right here. Another short trade right here. For all this on the move down. Okay. Now, in there somewhere, I had highlighted a couple of them, but I'm not going to take any credit for anything like that because I don't have the areas that I actually did highlight. On the copper, we had a couple of spots on the copper this morning. One was right in here, and another one was right over here. All right, there was another one right here, but this one, it went so fast on the close of the bar, it ran up 4 ticks, which is where I would have put my stop to break even, and then it came back down. So I didn't highlight anything on that. And That was pretty much it there. When the market changes direction, do all my indicators tell you so, so that you do not take a trader? Is that part of the stop-out process that happens to traders? Actually, Keith, when the market changes directions, like right here, gold is changing directions, okay? And the thing that tells us this is that we have a lower swing in place on this move down from here to here. We got a lower swing. On this move down from here to here, we did not get a lower swing. That's bottoming action right there. Okay? So our indicators do tell us when it's likely to not move down anymore. Okay? What you would have expected, what you always anticipate when you have this divergence, is that the green line is going to change directions and move down into the cycle. Okay? Because the green line moves up like this on a pullback. So you're watching price move up, you're watching the green line move up away from the longer term direction, which is the cycle portion of the slingshot. Then you look for your down close below the trend line. If it's not hitting the BBC, which it's not doing here, then you look for your down close below the trend line, which was right there. And when you enter the trade on the down close, and you anticipate that the green line is going to work its way down into the cycle, and when it gets there, it's going to pull back and do it again, which it did. And in this one, it pulled back up like this. And it didn't. It got down into the cycle, but it didn't put in a lower swing. Every time, it should be continuing the trend and putting in a lower swing. Okay? That's what you look for. I try to point it out when it's happening, you know, live. Like that one right there on gold, for instance. When it's happening live, I try to point things like that out. Okay, if it's not putting in higher highs or not putting in lower lows. Alright. The ES, the copper I showed, soybeans. Let's do soybeans. I had three trades on soybeans. My first trade on soybeans was right in here. Alright, I took 10 ticks profit on that one. Then unfortunately, I missed the next one that was right here. But I grabbed this one, and I got 7 ticks profit on this one. You can see that kept moving up nicely. And then I shorted it over here, and I took 2 ticks profit on this one, on the short. Okay. There's not really anything else that we can do with the beans right at the moment. Okay, they kind of flattened out. But that is it. Right in here, Frank? Yeah, you see the divergence between here? Between here and here. Never mind. I'm getting off something. All right. So that's it, guys. We're going to wrap up my recap here. We ended the morning plus $525 a contract or something like that. We are at just over $4,000 a contract on the month for June. The big winners of the month, gold and soybeans. Gold and soybeans are the big winners of the month. This is the Russell, I think, right? The Russell, and this is crude oil. Usually we have more action in crude and in the Russell, for that matter. You know? Of course, we do have the rest of the week left, and we could have, you know, the rest of the week could be really good. But all right. With that, guys, I'm going to wrap up my recap, and we will see you in the morning. All right. If you have not taken a free trial with us, go to cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for the free trial. If you have taken a free trial and you want to become a partner, send us an email at support@cfrn.net. Okay. All right, Dwayne. I am done and ready to go to Vegas. All right. I am going to text him and say, I am done, ready for Vegas. Just a second. Does anybody have any questions about anything? Anyone? Anybody that just watched that whole thing? Could I draw a cup and handle? Well, I could. Let's see. You don't actually have like a pencil drawing tool. That's what we really need. It's like a pencil drawing tool, and I would. But, let's see. Can I raise the DOM and charts higher in DT Pro to get rid of all that white space in the orders window?
Okay.
Hey.
I'm back.
Okay, there's a couple of... I've stopped the recording, but there's a couple of questions. Can I show how to place a stop limit? A stop limit, your right click. Your right click on the DOM. If you want to... Like, if you wanted to put a buy stop limit in, right here, you just right click on it, right there. Right click. Okay? That's a buy stop right there. Okay. Can I raise the DOM and charts higher in DT Pro to get rid of all that white space on the orders window? White space on the orders window.
You know, it sounds like somebody, Michael's trying to trade off the control panel.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'm just...
Yeah, that must be what it is.
Maybe you could send them your layouts.
I can do that.
And that might... correct the problem.
I will do that. I will definitely do that. Let's see. Frank said, cup and handle, there was one on gold, do you think? You know what? We can cover that later. Okay. On the bottoming action on gold right now, does it look like a bull move is shaping? It does, and you know why? Because the cycle is overbought. Okay. So we said this was bottoming in here, and now the cycle is overbought. So we have a bullish cross. We need a pullback with some divergence, and then you would look to get long. The problem that you're going to have here right now, though, is that you have all these tops right here. It needs to break through. I would wait to see it start trending, break through that level. Wait to see it start trending and break through that level before you decide to get in there. Because right now it looks like it's just consolidating on the, and it could be ready for a bigger move down. Okay, but this is definite bottoming action right here. If it moves down and it shoots down through this level, then it's going to take some work and really start to trend. It's going to have to really start to trend to bring the cycle back into the oversold area, so you can start taking the short trades.
Okay.
All right. That's good.
Are that all the questions?
Yes. Yes, it
okay.
is.
Now, guys, for those of you, not all of you got it, but many of you did. You got an email last night asking you to give us a performance review. And somebody commented, they go, "Oh, that's very bold of you. Most companies really wouldn't want to go there and ask, but you guys did. And so I respect that you were willing to, you know, ask the tough question." And so I got... an awful lot of really nice, thoughtful, well thought out voicemails from people. And of course, very tempting to play some of those. But I would actually rather play just one of the not so positive reviews. And the only reason I want to do that today and address it is because I think there's a misunderstanding. And so I'm going to try it. I don't know if it's going to play on this computer or not. But and let me give you the backstory and the setup. The person simply said that on Friday when Michael did the recap, that there were some Russell trades that weren't profitable that got swept under the carpet. And I got to say that's just not correct. And I honestly believe it's a misunderstanding of some kind. And here's why. If we were going to try to pull some kind of chicanery, we wouldn't do it in that manner, quite frankly, because we trade in the live trading room in front of, you know, 100 or more people. So they're seeing the actual trades as we put them on and take them off. Correct, Michael?
Yes. Yes.
Then we come here into the radio program, and then we recap every single trade all the way through And we don't just talk about them, but we show them on the chart. We document them, okay? And then once they're documented, we put that video out on YouTube and on our website for all the world to see. So if we were going to try to do something, you know, underhanded, we'd have to be a little more clever than that. In fact, we go out of our way to just make sure that we always trade with both hands on top of the desk so that there's never any question of any impropriety, because that's just not who we are. It's not how we roll. So with that said, I'm going to attempt to play this voicemail. I'm not sure if it'll play correctly, but I'm going to give it a try because I'm having to play it off my bum computer. So hang on. Yeah, we're not getting audio, are we? Oh,
no,
wait.
No,
I think I can fix that. Hang on. If you start getting an echo, tell me.
Okay.
Guys, since Friday, I'm one of your customers, and just my observation is that there's a lot of charlatans in your industry. You know that, and I know that, and I know that you guys, being a Christian entity, want to be the exception to that. And my observation is that there were a couple short trades in the Russell on Friday that were unprofitable, that weren't counted in Michael's results. And I think you just need to be really, really careful to make sure that you include all trades. I've built a good-sized insurance agency over 35 years, and with the premise that you do what's right and let the cards fall where they may.
New visitor.
And that's just my word to the wise. There's several, a lot of people, I'm sure, probably taking the same trades that Michael is and risking their monies, and are very much aware if they're profitable or not. And I think that could possibly come to bite you guys long-term when people start realizing that that's happening. So thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Okay, now based on the tone of voice and the manner in which that was delivered, I believe that person was filled with good intention in their message, but I also think there's a great misunderstanding. Because on Friday, you recapped every trade that was taken, correct?
Yes.
You did, and we endeavor to do that every single day.
I do.
Is there ever a chance for human error? There is. However, we have all of those people that were sitting in the live trading room. They're sitting here. Half of them are better are sitting here in the radio show as well. And so if Michael were to miss one or get one wrong, the people here in the radio, they would type it in and go, no, dude, you got that one wrong. Because from time to time, people do correct you, right? Is that right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Are you with me?
I am. I was just going through the emails trying to find that message.
Okay.
But yeah. Yeah, I mean, if I make mistakes, you know, by God, let me know.
Yeah, so we appreciate constructive criticism, okay? And that's why, I mean, I got a bunch of really flowery, really nice, gave me a little tear. Some of them. Really good, okay? Made me feel good. And I could have played those, and I probably will over the next few days, quite frankly. Might even put a few on the website. But the one I found where there was an issue where somebody thought, hey, man, maybe something's not quite right, I just wanted to address that because, trust me, we do everything in our power to make sure that everything is kosher, if you will. And so anytime there's ever a question on that, you know, don't hesitate to ask. We won't get mad. We won't act ugly. Sometimes when you insult the guru's integrity, they get all kind of crazy on you, but we won't. We'll just try to, you know, explain it, square it away, rectify it, and if we have made a mistake, if by chance we've made a mistake, we'll be so quick to admit it. Because we're human. So,
yes.
There you go. But for all of you that have participated and left us a voicemail, whether it was just, hey, you're doing a great job, or if it had constructive criticism in it, we thank you for that. And if you just haven't got around to making the call yet today, please do. If you can take just a minute, because we really do want your feedback. We really want to know how we're doing, okay? If we're meeting your needs, if there's something else we could do differently, do better, tell us, okay? We're not going to get our feelings hurt. And if it's something that will improve the quality of our radio program or our trading room environment, okay? We can't always do everything that everybody wants us to do. It's just not practical. Can't make everybody happy all the time. But you know what? We'll try to do whatever we can that is within reason. So, because we do want to be the greatest trading company on planet Earth. All right. So you've covered everything else. I want to do one thing. I'm going to put you on hold for a second. I'm going to come right okay. back, and I want you to tell me if you can hear me. All right?
Okay.
All right. Okay. All right. Hang on.
I'm ready. Okay. I can't hear. Can you guys hear? Just kidding. No, you can't hear a thing.
Can you now?
Now we
can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah?
You hear us, yeah.
Oh, I hear you. So how does this sound compared to how I sounded a minute ago?
It's not as clear, but if you started with this, then it would be fine. You know, you wouldn't notice the difference in the clarity, but it's fine.
Oh, okay. Well, so, all right. So then that's good for me to know because I have the option, and I'm just tweaking a couple things because I can jump right back to the other one. So if the other one's clearer, then I want to go with that one. Okay?
Okay. All right.
So I'm going to jump back to the other one and hang tight.
Okay.
Okay, I've officially jumped back, and we're going to Vegas, man. If Robin's in, will you go ahead and open up her mic for me?
You bet.
All right, guys, we're going to pause for a very brief station identification. We'll be right back with Mr. David Williams from PageTrader.com and Miss Robin Dane, the trading coach. Don't touch your radio dial because we're coming right back.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310 and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
David, good morning, sir. Welcome to the show. Robin,
thank you very much.
You. No, Robin?
Okay. I unmuted her. She should be okay.
She'll be coming along here any minute.
Yes, she will be.
So, David, did you have a nice weekend?
Yes.
Come on. Bring it. Bring it, Robin. Bring
good
it.
Good morning. It's a fabulous day here in Las Vegas. Not as sunny as I would like, but it's definitely a fabulous day.
Good stuff.
It is. It's a pretty day here. It's pretty windy, but it's cool. It's not too bad. Dwayne, on our and good morning, Robin, and good morning, Michael.
Good morning, everybody.
We have temperatures coming up this week.
That's right.
Starting Wednesday at 106, Thursday 108, Friday 113, Saturday 115.
Wow.
Get the skillets out.
Listen, Monday 117.
Oh,
now think about that. That means that your weather, Dwayne, is going to be even hotter than that.
Right.
Yeah, let me pull up my 5-day forecast.
Yeah, it's supposed to be wicked bad. Bad.
Weather, a little zip code. Do you guys know that? You can just Google the word weather and your zip code, and there it is.
Oh.
Okay, Monday... Today, 106, 106, 111, 111. Friday, 117. Saturday, 118. Sunday, 115. And next Monday, 115.
Yikes. Man, oh man. Yikes. And you know, and July, I mean, this is the end of June, beginning of July. It doesn't really get super horrible for us until August, and part of August, part of September, where we get the high humidity. Because the climate here is typically very, very dry. And so when people are asked, well, how can you live in 115-degree heat? They go, well, it's a dry heat. Well, you know what? Hell's a dry heat, but I don't want to be there. So, I mean, but when we get that, when the humidity, the dew point starts to rise, now that's really miserable. You know, you can actually handle 115 dry heat better than you can handle 100 degrees with, you know, very high humidity.
Well, I can attest to that because I was in Santa Barbara, California, and I remember I was out on a rare vacation that I had taken, and I was in Santa Barbara. It was 78 degrees out, and the humidity was high, and that 78 degrees felt obnoxious to me. It was so hot. On the back of your neck, the way it burned, it was incredibly hot, and I was astonished to hear that it was only 78 out. So I will take hell's dry heat over the high humidity, because every temperature, every degree that it goes up with high humidity adds a tremendous amount of suffering. And it is, you know, all of it's hard on you. You know, the heat out here is very hard. I was just telling somebody the other day, I was saying, you know, the summer hasn't been that bad yet. And they said it hasn't started yet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So. We just had the first day.
I always have to remind people I barely made it through high school, just to let them just get myself off the hook, you know. No, it was just a day or so before it just had started. And I was thinking, you know, this hasn't been that bad of a summer. Now next week the real summer begins. So
yep. Yeah, I just hope nobody goes missing.
Yeah. No, that's true. And people who don't have good air conditioning, I have been in this town for 35 years, and almost every summer, elderly people die in their apartments from lack of air conditioning. So if you have a relative or somebody who is incapable or would be incapable if the heat rose without control, you best check that out and make sure, you know, maybe have their equipment checked or whatever, because that happens every single year here in Las Vegas. Every year you'll read in the paper, you know, elderly woman dies, you know, heat-related death in her apartment, air conditioning was broken or she couldn't get to it or who knows, whatever it is. But it's a bad time to not have air conditioning. So check that out in your respective areas.
Yeah, it's sick. And you know, let's see, some other areas of the country, a couple of years ago, there were a lot of heat-related deaths. I think it was some in Texas. They had a stretch there for a number of weeks where it was unusually high, and there were fatalities. And you would well, if you go back to 2000, I think it was it 2005 or 2006 here in Phoenix, we had some heat-related fatalities amongst the homeless.
Yeah.
We have that every year as well.
Yeah, I mean, they set up watering hydration stations, they call them, and the Red Cross goes out with ice and bottles of water. And it's just, in Phoenix, I mean, God didn't plant any trees in Phoenix, Arizona. There's a few that man have planted, but you try to find shade in the middle of the afternoon in Phoenix, and it's difficult to find a shady spot to stand in.
Yeah, it is. I've seen that.
So be careful out there, folks. It's going to be a hot one, a scorcher, as they say.
We have out here in Las Vegas miles and miles and miles of underground tunnels where people who will stay. People will go down under those in the underground. Many people live there, believe it or not. It's the most incredible thing. They did a whole show on it, and we've talked about this on the program. They did a whole show on thousands of people in Las Vegas live in the underground tunnels that are designed to get water from the mountain around the city so that things don't flood. And Robin, you can correct me if I'm wrong about that, but that's what I think they're used for.
Yeah, the Army Corps engineers designing the water to go to Lake Mead.
Okay, so these are no small tunnels. These are not people lying down.
These are
15 feet tall tunnels. You can stand in there. You've got high ceilings, and you can set up your whole house. You can set up everything you want in your home, so to speak, down there. And people do that. And there's much, much less heat down there because it's so far underground, and it's like being in an underground parking garage or something. And people live down there, and a lot of them do. So once in a while, they get flooded. The water comes down there, and it doesn't, the water levels don't get up to the point where they can't breathe. It just means it floods them up to their knees or something. I don't know. But it depends on how much water there is. But for the most part, they do very well, and it's a very much cooler environment. So interesting, isn't it?
Places. Yeah, it is. It can be almost like a 20-degree, 30-degree difference down there in those places, depending on where they are, of course, because they're cement and they're underground, and it's a way for them to survive. They figured out a way to survive.
Absolutely. I would rather be down
flash.
There.
Yeah, just hope we don't have a flash flood during that time. That's the only thing.
So if John you're has, here, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that John says that he lives in southern Louisiana for years, and it's tough. My wife is from Cali, Colombia, where they say it is hot. And after living a couple of summers there in Cali, it is not nearly as hard as a summer is here in southern Louisiana. Because in Louisiana, they have a bad heat. Because I grew
humidity.
Up in Georgia, where the humidity is tough. At night, the sheets will literally stick to you. And so they have that same thing in Louisiana. And down where our mission is in Rocky Point, Puerto Penasco, goodness, that place, the end of July, August, and the beginning of September, that place is like a ghost town. Because unless you're from there and live there, you don't go there. We used to go because we had the mission. We had to go and take care of things. It is not just hot, but because you're right there on the water, the humidity is just, you get out of the shower, you cannot get dry. You get out of the shower wet, you start toweling off, and you never fully get dry for about a month. You know, you just take, you're just damp, wilted. So.
Well, anyway, so the temperatures are, they're climbing, so we'll see how all that plays out. But if you do know somebody that's elderly or whatever, it's probably a good idea to do a little double checking, make sure that they're going to be okay if your area is going to be really hot as well. Or get them out of there and take them to your house for a little while. So probably not a bad idea.
But how about that guy on the tightrope?
Oh, somebody in the live trading room this morning brought that up. Well, one of the Walindas.
Yeah.
They've been doing that now for generations. Father, son, grandfather, the whole. And I guess, where was it he was walking?
The Grand Canyon.
Across the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
Across the Grand Canyon. Oh, my goodness. I watched, we kept going back and forth because they were on for quite a while on one of the channels, full coverage. And it was absolutely amazing to watch this man focus. I mean, talk about having to have the mental focus to do this. I mean, he was talking to God the entire time. He was just, asking for the wire not to shake. And he had this interesting phenomena happen whereby he would look at the wire. And I guess because of the background of the canyon, it was creating an illusion, and he would actually cause and we're talking about a 2-inch, cable, start to move a little bit, and it would get into a rhythm, get deeper and deeper and deeper till he had to calm it down, all from an illusion. And so, that's a challenge. That's a challenge to be out there, keep your mind straight, and then look at something, think you're seeing one thing, and then it's something totally different. Is, to me,
last thing you want an illusion with is the very thing that's supporting you.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, my stomach was in a knot for him. I could watch it on his wife's face, but he and his father was talking to him along the way, sometimes was irritating him. It was like, what is he doing? Why does his father shut up? Because he's throwing him off. Mm-hmm. And instead of saying to him, you know, yeah, you've got it, you're doing really great, you know, he was supposed to be giving him, I guess, the wind conditions, and they had these meters that were hanging from the tightrope that could tell the wind at any, you know, at a given point. And there was a time that he hit the wind that he had to stoop down and crouch down and just kind of maintain and get his balance. I'm like, oh my gosh! I mean, I just, you know, how do you beat that? I mean, I think he did the Niagara Falls. I don't know if it was last year, but that was the last big one that he did, was going across Niagara Falls, and that's not an easy thing either. Mm-hmm. And so the commentator came up to the wife and said, well, was Niagara Falls harder for you to watch than this, or was this easier? And she looked at the woman, and she said, they're both hard. It's like, you know, you can't. She says his life is at risk every time. She says, and it was just the fortitude and mental focus was phenomenal. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Similar in danger to crossing Tropicana and Eastern. Actually, it's similar out here. Just the street. The focus required is amazing. You've got to really stay focused.
Yeah, Las Vegas Boulevard and Flamingo.
The
hey
cab
guys,
drivers.
Keep it going. I'll be right back in 2 minutes.
All right. The cab drivers are terrible. No.
You didn't see it.
I knew it was on, but I didn't. I forgot at the moment, at the time that it was on, and I'll go try to find a rerun of it somewhere, but I'm very happy for him that he pulled it off. This is a family tradition, obviously, with these guys, and one of them did fall and die.
His grandfather,
and so he's solved that in his own mind, I'm sure, and it's an amazing feat.
Well, his grandfather didn't die doing it until he was 74. I mean, it's like, who should be on a tightrope at 74 anyway?
Yeah.
I know it's your business, but oh, come on. You know, but I guess, you know, thinking about it, you know, if you were 74 years old and you were doing the thing that you loved and you died at it, it probably was not a bad way to go out. You know, better than being sick or having cancer or being in the hospital or, you know, doing something that you love to do. I mean, this whole family has done this their entire generations, just generations.
It's an amazing feat, and it almost seems silly on a certain level. Like, why cause yourself all that grief to ultimately be able to say, I did this, maybe? But this is a family tradition there. This is a bigger picture thing, is humanity is always trying to break out and go farther and greater. Mm-hmm. We've gone to the moon. And on the human level, we've got, you know, the 3-minute mile. We've got people keep pushing the limits, and this is just another way for humans to push the limits.
Yeah, see, I think it's so much more than that. I mean, I think it's for them, I believe it's definitely a spiritual thing when they do this.
It is. And, I mean, you know, in the broader sense for me, just that humanity gets – this isn't just a little circus act. It's actually moving humanity forward, because we're pushing limits that we may end up breaking through and so on. And it helps – in some way, it helps humanity in the end.
Yeah. I mean, I've never done anything to that extreme, but I think just the fact of overcoming a fear is – that kind of a fear, and there has to be a level of fear. I don't care how confident he is. There's a level of fear that goes into that activity, no matter what, when your life is on the line. And just to get through that, and just when he came to the end, he ran at the end, literally. Mm-hmm. When he knew he could run at the end, he ran at the end, and the first thing that he did was kiss the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you – that – just that adrenaline. He was on pure adrenaline at the end, because that pole had gotten so heavy, and it took him a good 20, I think it was 22 minutes and something seconds to do it.
That's a long time. That's
like
a long time to focus.
Four football fields. That's a long time.
That's a long time. Yeah.
Being in that stress position and totally relying on your instincts and your fortitude, your mental fortitude. I just mm-hmm. It was just mind-blowing to me. Just mind-blowing.
Yeah. An amazing accomplishment.
Yeah, an amazing accomplishment. And did I hear something about Tesla over the weekend? Something come up on
did.
Tesla? What was the deal there?
Well, Tesla has very cleverly, over the period of the design of this car, the Model S, they built in some things that they never talked about initially, one of which was the ability for the car to have its battery swapped out.
Yes.
So they've not talked about it in a long time, but they, you know, and, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about the car's range and about this, that, and the other, and how far can you drive, and the Tesla Superstar charger stations. Well, now they're proving that the car battery can be swapped out at these stations faster than a person can fill up his car with gas. And he says, you know, Elon says, this is now final proof that there is really no excuse why we can't do electric cars. We can now, he actually, during the demonstration, showed that he could swap two batteries out in two Model S's in the time it took one person to fill up their gas tank.
Yeah, and then, so let's say you have this car, right? So then you would have... You would get to, let's say you were going cross country, then you would get to one of these stations, pull out your old battery, put in the new one, and I know it's really pricey. I mean, it's like $180-something or $89, $80.
Something like $80.
So you would just always, then you would recharge your other one, and then you'd keep switching, so you can swap.
You'd probably be on,
so
you would
like
drive
you could
around.
Put your empty one in and take that one and it's free?
If you go with the program that they would be having, in, you would have to choose one way or the other. You either choose free, which is just that you can plug your car in and get a fast charge within 30 or 45 minutes, or you pay to have speed, which is that you just pull into a station and your battery gets replaced in 90 seconds, and then you're off and running with a full another 270 miles that you can go.
Yeah.
And these stations are going to cost about $500,000 to put up. Each one will have, you know, 40 to 50 batteries depending on demand. And, you know, this guy is single-handedly describing, laying out the future of transportation.
Yep.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's putting it all together for us and showing us how it's going to be and building it right in front of us.
Yeah, I saw a snippet on it. It was fabulous. I really the energy of the guy is awesome. When you watch him, you can see how dedicated and how much passion he has for this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fabulous to watch him. Just awesome.
Yeah, no, he's got a you know, he's one of these guys that when you listen to him talk, he just sounds like an ordinary person, but inside he's able to visualize and see as possible anything, mm-hmm. and that he can get right down to business doing it. He also happens to be a fully educated engineer, so his engineering skills come into play, and he's engineered a lot of the company owns a lot of patents mm-hmm. that they've licensed to other manufacturers, so they have income from other manufacturers as well who are using Mercedes, Toyota, and maybe another that are using their patented technology for their Tesla drive trains and things like that. So, you know, it's an amazing thing right
great.
In front of everybody that what this guy has done.
Yeah, you know? I think it's terrific, absolutely terrific. You know, this is you know, out of this kind of crazy economy comes these brilliant ideas because people are pushed to stretch, and that's the good part of having to downsize and having to get finances under control, or have, you know, there's some really good parts to this that are exciting.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's amazing. It is amazing. We'll see, you know, that, but this was a great surprise because nobody could guess what the announcement was going to be until they tweeted and said something about, you know, battery replacement. Nobody could figure out how they were going to recharge the car in 90 seconds.
Uh-huh.
So now there's a place in Israel, a company called Better Place, that attempted to do this, but I think they went out of business. Elon claims that guy borrowed the idea from him, And apparently it just didn't work out there. But like I said before, you know, this company has everyone's attention now. They certainly have the respect of its critics, although there's always going to be critics. No matter who you are, no matter how good you do, there's going to be your critics out there. But that's just life. The critics are going to be there, but he has confounded the critics. You know how you can tell when the critics are confounded? They go away. They just don't. They don't show up for the next day's typing.
That's how
you know they've been confounded. They never come back and say, "You got me, man. I'll tell you what. You really surprised me. You did really good, man. I'm really blown away." Real critics, the real bad critics, never do that. The real people do that. Real people say, "Hey, you know what? I thought for sure you didn't have a chance in hell of getting this pulled off, and I wrote about it, but I got to tell you, you've amazed me, and you know, this is astonishing. Good luck to you." That's what a real human being does.
Yeah.
a worthless human being, on the other hand, doesn't know how to take his own position and switch it around and say, "You know what? Hey, you pulled it off. That's amazing, and I give that to you."
Yeah.
And the internet is just a great place for people to be the former, you know, and just throw their dirt in, throw their bricks, throw their bombs, and then just disappear when somebody says, "Hey, you know, well, you were saying this," and the guy, look now. Well, what about now? You know, oh, the guy doesn't really want to talk right now so much. So, you know, and this is a good life lesson for everybody. You know, be wrong sometimes. Just be wrong. Just take the hit.
It's okay.
It's good for you. It really is. It's not good for you in a punishing way. It's good for you to see that it's okay to be wrong. It's good for you to say, "Hey, I really thought this way and it went the other way." It's good for you to grow beyond that. It is, because if you don't allow yourself to be wrong, you won't grow past the thing that you think you're right about. You won't grow past it, and you'll be stunted.
Yeah.
You have to be wrong in order to grow.
There's a tremendous relief in letting go of having to be right.
Oh, it's tremendous. It's life-changing.
Tremendous relief of letting go to having to be right, because you don't have to be right all the time.
You don't have to be right.
No.
You don't have to be right. You can just say something that you thought and find out that it didn't work out that way or whatever. But anyway, in particular, in
trading, that is, it's the whole concept of right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy for traders, especially someone who's new, to get hung up on that right and wrong. And people who have probably the most difficult time with the concept of not identifying with right and wrong are people who came from very exacting type professions. We've talked about this a lot.
Yep. Engineers.
Doctor, an engineer, you know, an architect. They're putting up a building, you know, and thousands of people's lives are going, you know, to depend on this thing being perfect. I mean, literally, it has to be perfect. When you go in to do surgery on someone, there's no room for error. I mean, it has to be perfect. But David, you've got a term that you've used about gracefully imperfect. How does that go?
I think that's what it is. You learn to be gracefully imperfect, or graciously and gracefully, I suppose. And the grace part of it is great, because when you relax away from the belief that you're supposed to be right in everything and you're not supposed to be wrong, when you relax from that, you really do open yourself up to new insights. You're blocking you're blocking life from coming through by demanding that no matter what position you took in the past, you have to stick to that in front of everybody else, even if it's dead wrong. That's just blocking life from getting through to you and flowing new things to you. You have no business complaining that life isn't bringing anything new your way when you're actively living your life to make sure nothing comes your way new.
Right.
Blocking you know, all these things. So, you know, it's just one of these. It's a trait that we see, and this happens time and time and time and time again in every kind of thing that happens on the internet. There's always the naysayers, always the people, and sometimes they're right as well. There's a lot of people that were right. Listen, the electric car was here 100 years ago. They were making electric cars. Believe it or not, it's the most incredible thing.
Just amazing.
They would go 80 miles at about 22 miles an hour. They had batteries in them. You'd sat in them like a little, it was, you know, like a coach or something like you'd see, you know. Obviously the internal combustion engine is going to be here for a long time still as they continue to ramp up the technology, for batteries, improvement in batteries and so on. But they're already making big improvements, and in the years to come, we're going to see this. Now, this goes back to that other thing. Then we'll move on to the markets. The guy that made the, you know, we've talked about this so many times, the 50-mile-an-hour carburetor back in the 70s, and the oil company bought it from him and then killed him and all that stuff. you know, I don't know of anybody who died making these battery cars yet, which don't even use any gas at all, let alone 50 miles per gallon. They don't use any. So I don't think the oil company is out there killing people in order to stop the innovation. It's very difficult to stop innovation by killing an individual or something. And there are people who still believe to this day. I know I have a very good friend who believes absolutely, incontrovertibly, that a fellow wrote a book that describes how to cure cancer, and that in the book he said they're going to kill him, and he died.
Yeah.
I don't know how he died.
It's in Europe, yeah.
And I said to him, okay, well, great. So the book is out. So how come cancer isn't cured?
Mm-hmm.
If you wrote it in the book, where's the cure? If you published the book, they killed him, but they didn't stop the publishing of the book? You know, whatever. It becomes ridiculous after a while. They don't have a cure for cancer yet. There's millions of people working on this disease all over the world. Millions of people who have gone through school who are working on understanding what the heck cancer is, how it works, what the mechanisms are. There's 100 different kinds of cancer, and it goes on and on and on. We were chemotherapying, radiating people, and cutting parts off in the 30s, and today we are chemotherapying people, you know, cutting parts off and radiating them today. One of the big things that's happened with cancer is we now know that prevention is a whole lot better, you know, early detection. So if you have something going on that you think is unusual in your skin or other, just go see a doctor. Let him go take it and make sure that it doesn't get any worse than it is. So anyway, we don't have a cure for cancer yet. They're working on it, but there's not somebody that has it and is keeping it to himself in a little black bottle, the black helicopters and all that stuff. It really is. Most of what life is exactly as it looks like. There are things that look like one way and they're really something else, but a lot of it is exactly like it looks. And one of those things is we don't have a cure for cancer yet. We're still working on it. All over the world, really smart people are. And when somebody discovers the cure, helicopters don't land and shoot them or take them away and put them on an island with millions of dollars. That's not how it goes. I know the industry, the medical industry, is fraught. It's just as bad as our government in many ways. But the fact is that something like that will get out. It's really hard to keep a secret that big, and millions of people are looking for that secret.
Yep. Yep.
So.
Yep. Yep.
There you are.
Yep.
There was a. I thought I had sent it out as a tweet last night, but I may not have. I'm trying to. Maybe I emailed it to myself. Maybe it just didn't take, but they printed their first. Let's do this. Let's go to Google. This is really quite fascinating.
Oh, is this the machine that prints organs or?
Well, this is the first electric battery printed. But yeah, it's the 3D printing. This is really becoming. Where did I see?
I think I saw that too this weekend.
3D printed batteries the size of a grain of sand. Now, I saw this on the Business Insider site, but I'm pretty sure this is going to be the exact same article. Give the page a chance to load up here. Here it comes. So, the dirty secret of lithium-ion batteries, which powers everything from electric cars to iPhones, is that the technology hasn't had a breakthrough in years, while the rest of the technology world subscribes to Moore's law that over time, gadgets should become exponentially faster, lighter, and more compact. Battery size and capacity has hit a wall. It's a problem that Apple, Samsung, Tesla, and every R&D department in the tech industry is forced to grapple with and make concessions for every single day. The problem lies in the graphite that stores lithium ions in the anode of a battery. Graphite has a theoretical limit to how much lithium it can hold, and today's batteries have pretty much reached it. While bigger batteries are always an option, most people don't want thicker, heavier phones. Where do we get to the part about the printing? To accomplish this, the tiny batteries' anodes and cathodes were printed from the ground up, like writing happy birthday on a cake with frosting. So this is that. This is the 3D printing thing, guys.
It's a machine.
You can print pizza. You can print cake. You can print batteries. Here we go. It's printing it right now.
But then they can put it onto this machine now, and they can actually make it from a mold, cheaper than anything that they've had before. It's like a $5,000 machine.
You can buy – there's a retail version of the 3D printers. I've seen some, I think, as low as like $2,500,
$3,000. Yeah, yeah.
Now, the materials that you put in there to print with, I think right now it's probably cost you more to – and what they say is really neat is like let's say some little doohickey on a lamp in your living room breaks, and you would have to order that from, you know, like the manufacturer. But instead, you'll be able to go to the manufacturer's website, and you'll be able, and I'm not an engineer, but you'd be able to, at their website, instead of ordering that part, get the blueprint or the CAD drawing or whatever it's called for that little doohickey, and then you just feed that to your printer, and then your printer just makes the little thing.
It's awesome. Yeah. I saw this weekend. It's unbelievable. It is so cool.
They printed the first battery, and they say... This article doesn't address it from the angle but right here you see it, 3D printed batteries the size of a grain of sand. So, amazing times we live in.
Mm-hmm.
It is. That is amazing. And we'll get onto it here, but I was just going to say that one of the most interesting fields, if you're a father, mother, and your son or daughter is looking for something interesting, the medical field is going to explode.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question that all of these technologies are going to lead to things that help people live longer lives. We are going to be, believe it or not, human beings will have the capacity to live to 150, 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that far out in the future. Certainly not going to be immediate. But mm-hmm. we're going to do that because technical advances are going to allow us to keep disease in check much more. You know, go in and find these little robots are going to be inside of you to go find cancer cells, and cancer will be cured, and on and on. And human life will actually be able to go for much, much longer than what is normally thought of as a long life. I mean, even biblically speaking, you know, what is it? I forgot the term, but it's 70-something years is the appointed time
right.
for man. But
yes.
We've already passed that as an average.
Mm-hmm.
We're already past that as an average now. We are going to be seeing man and women, obviously, to live well past 150 years in the future because of these advances. And it's going to be an amazing thing how they're going to handle that, because that's going to mean that there's more people on Earth at any one time. But as a field, it's going to be a fascinating field. The medical field is going to be very good for people if they have an interest and a proclivity towards, you know, that.
You know, that term, he's as old as Methuselah. Methuselah, a biblical character, lived to be, I think it was 900 years old.
Right.
And so, but you're right, David, the scripture does say that it is given unto man, I think, an appointed lifespan of like, I think it says 70 to 80 years, if you do the math, is what it works out to be. So, but incredible. I mean, we've seen this incredibly long lifespan, and then it's shortened. And I mean, there's countries today, Africa, for example. Now, I don't know if this is the exact. When I was the last time I was there, the average lifespan of an African man was like 45.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't see a lot of old people. I mean, you see some.
Right.
Well, your village elders, and they have great respect, command great respect from the people because they have managed to survive. See, over there, just getting old is a feat in and of itself, because they're, you know, the type of health care that we have available here, even if you are economically challenged and even if you don't have health insurance, if you get sick in America, you go to a hospital and present yourself and say, I'm sick, by law, they have to treat you and take care of you, and they will. And that type of thing doesn't exist in Africa, and it doesn't exist in many third world countries and emerging nations. And so while we complain about our healthcare system and insurance, and we have issues, I'm not saying we don't, but the other side of that is that we have by far the greatest healthcare system in the world. It is expensive. And now I read an article yesterday. Yesterday marked the 100-day countdown to the beginning of the Affordable Health Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Now, something big happens on some day in October. Are you guys familiar with this, or does anybody in the audience want to type in?
I know that there's something there, but I don't know what it is.
Okay, because something 100 days from yesterday, something, I guess you can actually start shopping for insurance, I believe is... I should go back and read the article again, I guess. Yeah, I'll do that before tomorrow. All right. If you guys are ready to go to the markets, we'll do it.
Yeah. Let's take a quick look. We've got a lot going on. Dwayne, if you want, we'll begin with the S&P 500 as we always do.
Sure.
We are there's a lot we could talk about today with and just in recent days here with the S&P. We've had this big multi-week decline, which is still underway. I believe that the next reflected wave bottom, those of you with reflected wave know this, is the week of July 1st. So we're inching in now on a very important weekly bottom for the S&P. A big decline. A lot of people might look at this and say, well, you know, the big advance is over and so on. I am not at all of that belief. I believe that barring anything really unusual, which has not happened, that this is going to be a normal weekly bottom, and we're going to have a multi-week advance that's going to take us back up to, you know, 1630 and perhaps 1650 or higher off of this low. So this is really an important juncture that we're at on the downside. The juncture is that we're now in the 1 week early. Next week is the on-time week, and we're going to be seeing a reversal with either good news or bad news, whatever makes the market go up these days. I don't know anymore what makes the market go up, but the down move could definitely be attributed. This is actually the Fed announcement move. The move from the date of the Fed announcement, you know, around the 18th or the 19th, which itself was a daily reflected wave top, is what sent prices sharply lower here. So we're almost done on the downside here. We're getting close, at least on the weekly chart. And we may even see the low come in 1 week early, which is this week. So this is critical. What do we do with this? What we do is we look for stocks that are also bottoming in this time frame that maybe didn't go down as much as certain other stocks that are strong among the weak, and we sell put premium under those. And that's how we handle this type of situation. We could just sell the time premium on the index, but we also really like the idea of spreading it around, spreading risk, distributing the risk across a number of stocks that have acted well during this decline. And when when the market is going down, some stocks are going to go down a lot harder than others. And the ones that aren't going down so much, often, not always, are the ones that are really in a much stronger position. And those are the ones that we like to sell put premium on. It's a safer bet and so on. And then we get the index to reverse up, and then for the most part, the stocks that we have selected begin moving up as well. Some of them very well. Some of them will move very powerfully. Some not so much. But the tendency is that they all reverse, and then we can collect that premium, and it makes for a nice trade. So with that in mind also, let's take a quick look at today's shorter-term stuff, because I think there is some important stuff setting up into...
As you, as you go into the shorter term, Dave, let me just show you guys while we're talking about a little bit bigger picture. If we grab this swing low in November of last year and take it up to the swing high that we just put in on May 22nd, today we hit, it looks like to the tick there, a 38% retracement. And again, guys, we don't use FIBS as a standalone trading methodology, but we do look at it and we stay aware of the levels and we use it as a confirmation tool. And so, David, you're talking about a potential for a bottom and potentially being 1 week early.
Right. We could still see a little more price on the downside. We could still see a little.
Because right now we're sort of caught between zones and it's a pretty big zone. So I am kind of looking for more on the downside. Not enough to take us to that 50% retracement, but sort of right in the middle there. So, and in the grand scheme of things, this sell-off looks pretty violent these last few days. But if you just look at the bigger picture, it's so far that, as you would say, the uptrend is not in jeopardy.
Yeah.
It's still alive and well. So let's go to that shorter term.
Oh, yeah. About. No, it definitely is. One thing I would say is that during this advance right here, I like the idea for today. Into early tomorrow, it might require overnight, but I do like the idea of looking for a short entry here for a retest of 1560. We're at 68 right now. This is a very short-term type of trade, but a 1560 retest into late today or early tomorrow. You know, barring a complete reversal here where the market just shoots up to the stars, barring that, I think you would see a retest of that level. And that's what I'm looking for. That's what we would be trading for a little bit later today as the market further tests the levels that we're at right now. This is a 69 and 70 level, obviously pretty important. Let's see what they can do with it. And if you like what you see, whether you use Michaels and Duane's material or whether you're using Reflected Wave, you could use this to potentially get short for a later session decline and test a 1560 or lower, likely lower than that, and that would give you a nice trade. So that's what we're looking for a little bit later in the day on the short term, and you know, hope that's useful.
For us, if we test, we're going to look for a test here of this 75 area again. And we'll sell that again if we get the test. And I'll send a tweet out, guys, if I decide to put a trade on there. So just watch your feed. And that's what we're not looking for. I'm not looking for anything higher. And there's, we'd have to do a lot to get me started on the long side. Not ready yet. But that's it for the S&P.
Okay.
Want to go to we want to go gold?
Gold. Sure. Got it. A lot of things happening in different markets today. Gold is another one that's important. We last week had sent out report that indicated that 1268, 15 was a long time ago on the gold, 1268 on the downside would be very difficult for the market to move through, that there should be a bounce there. And we've had a one-day bounce here so far, and we're waiting for, under normal conditions, we're waiting for a further advance. Now, something I want to point out, you might find this interesting, but if you take a look at the big down day that we had on June 20th, that was a pretty scary day. And those types of days make it very, very difficult for people, just ordinary people, traders like yourself and myself, Duane and others, to want to go long, because that day was such a big down day. But if you have an indication that would imply that normally you could go long, I often like to take that because it is, in fact, undeniably scary. And undeniably scary situations in the market are usually rich with opportunity, believe it or not. You know, a lot of people would say, no, we never want to step in front of that. Maybe this trade doesn't really work out so well for us. Maybe it doesn't. But right now it has. And we're in good shape with it. We've already had a nice little pop-up. But we are expecting more than this. I'm only pointing out that often when a move is scary, if subsequent to that you have an indication, most of us, including myself, naturally are not going to want to take that indication. Sometimes, though, the indication is pretty good, and we'll take it. And I have found over the years that the scarier the setup, in many cases, the better the opportunity is, and later it looks beautiful on a chart. And you think, boy, that would have been really nice to buy right here. But the problem is that you can say that in retrospect, but you couldn't have felt what you were really feeling at the time, which is what most people feel now, which is, I wouldn't touch gold on the long side with a 10-foot pole. That's what most people would say. But we're in it. We touched it with the 10-foot pole, and we're giving it a big hug. So we're going to see if we can continue with this trade. We have this trade out in our our institutional meetings. So we'll see. We'll continue to watch how gold plays out with this. Thank you very much.
Hey, I downloaded over the weekend, Dave, a little program. It's called Presentation Assistant Ultimate. This is a trial version. 30 days for free. But for anyone that does presentations like you do with the GoToWebinars, the number of tools that this thing has for just, like right here, if you're trying to show somebody something bar by, look at that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It? How you just open it up one bar at a time and reveal a little more, a little more. I mean, because the GoToWebinar drawing tools don't work well.
They're very clumsy. Yeah,
What happens is, because I call them to find out, every time you get a tick, the screen literally is refreshing itself.
Right.
And so it erases whatever you've drawn. The only way to make it work is if you're not in a live market. But I just downloaded this the other night and just starting to play with it and have some fun. It's got all kinds of little stuff.
This is much needed. That's a great little piece.
So it's called Presentation Assistant Ultimate, and you can download it free for 30 days.
Thank you for giving me that.
Thank you.
We'll take a look at that. Let's go over to the U.S. Treasury bond market. This is another day where we had almost a full point down earlier today. Unbelievably, if you think about this, just a month and a half ago, we were up at 149 in the bond market, and they've declined now 16 handles. That makes a huge difference in the interest rate, and I think the interest rate party is over. We had suggested many months back in February that after the advance up to 149 that it, you know, that might in fact be the last important rally for the bond market before the unwind. And when it worked out, that's exactly what has happened. And in getting down to this 133 level, I think that brings interest rates on 30-year money maybe 4.3-4.5%. Now, big picture, that's still a very good interest rate, but it's a whole lot more expensive now than it was just a month and a half ago to finance a house. And Bernanke did give all but a kiss goodbye to the $80 billion a year. They're still doing it. Every $80 billion a month they're putting in, but the markets didn't like that, and I don't think the bond market cares as much about the $80 billion a month that the Fed was putting in. I think it just wore out. Now, we'll still have rallies along the way down, but I think a pretty important top is probably already in, and that we will maybe get a rally that gets us back perhaps down to 4 or maybe a little bit better in the interest rate for a period of time. But I am concerned that in some senses that the really, really cheap 30-year money is gone. And the bigger interest rate decline or interest rate advance is now underway. So I don't have anything to add to that except that it still is in good shape because at some point in a year from now or whatever it is, you're going to see 6%. You're going to be back up at those rates, 5.5% and so on. And that makes a huge difference over time on financing something long-term like a house
or whatever.
It does
make a huge difference, but historically, that's still a great rate.
It's still a great rate, 4.5%. Remember when it was up at 6 and you'd say, boy, I wish I was one of those guys that got it at 4.5. Well, now you can be that guy. But now for some reason you don't want to be that guy because it was at 3.5. So, you know, you just have to pick your spot.
According to the last Fed statement, the Fed is sitting on roughly $3.4 trillion in bonds. And if you have a hard time grasping how much a trillion is, maybe you can wrap your brain around a billion. That's B as in boy. So how many billions of dollars is $3.4 trillion? Well, the answer is 3,500 billion dollars.
That's what
that's
it is.
That's 3.4 trillion.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing. Yeah.
I don't have enough fingers.
I took my shoes off, still didn't work. Now, and here's the thing. Ben is retiring, and the president is going to bring in a new a new Fed guy, a new, you know, and there's rumor that it could be Timmy Two Guns. And so Bernanke says the party's over, but depending upon who the new Fed chairman is, maybe – now, again, one guy doesn't make the decision. There's a group of them that have to vote, and there has to be a what do you call that, a majority vote, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I mean, the balance sheet is so out of whack. These artificially low interest rates – it just – it can't go on forever. And this bond – and, you know, and is the market going to, you know, take it hard? Is there going to be some, you know, huge sell-offs and the sky is falling? Yes, yes, and yes. But will we recover? Will we bounce back? I'm absolutely confident that we will. Will it be painful? Probably. Okay? But eventually, you know, you give a dance, you got to pay the band. We chose not to pay the band in 2008, in 2009, in 2010. So the longer you put it off, the more painful it is. That's just my opinion. So and I'm no economist by any stretch. So.
Nor am I, and I think that's a good point. An economist does a very different thing than a trader does. An economist is trying to figure out supply and demand and where things may be going and so on. A trader tries to make money from that. That's the difference. But a trader may try to figure it out with very different information. So these economists, some of them can be very good. I hope he hires somebody that's very good at what he does. But either way, whether he's very good or not, the bond market is – the interest rate party is, I think, over at this point. We still have really good interest rates, though, so consider that. And, you know, always check with your financial advisor and all those – your doctor, your pharmacist, and everybody else, because we're not licensed to tell you what to do, but we can tell you what some good ideas are, and then you maybe take them. And I still think it's a good idea to look to – use Rob Howe, who's been on our program, or your own person to help you understand how to get rid of a house that you might not want to be in any longer or can't afford to be in. And can't afford doesn't mean you can't make the payments. Can't afford might mean that the house is so upside down that you can't afford to continue making payments because it doesn't make sense. Out here in Las Vegas, the housing market has rebounded very sharply, and that has made a lot of difference to people whose houses were dramatically underwater. Now many of those people are only 40% underwater.
Yeah.
Whatever the numbers is. I think you had a pretty good rebound in Arizona as well, Duane.
Yeah. We have, but it's still, you know, we lost 2/3 of the value in homes here.
Yeah, we did too out here. That's exactly right.
300,000 went to 100,000, and now it's back to maybe 130,000.
Oh, well, out here we have that same thing happened out here. The 300 went to 100, but the 100 is now about 170.
Is it? Well,
yes.
I could be off. But
I think yours are higher out there. I think you would be surprised. And you can't look at Zillow and things like that and get the true rate. Zillow and those things, they haven't a clue, not even a clue, of what the things are really selling for. So you have to realize that there's a huge difference between
that data, what happens is that data is so outdated. Those figures are based upon what happened in the market, you know, 6 months ago or 9 months ago.
Some of those figures were before the Beatles broke up. I mean, seriously. Anyway.
I just saw the Willenda guy on a little commercial there going across the thing. That's amazing. What makes a person do that? I mean,
he grew up in his family.
Yeah,
I mean, he was around it the whole time. You do what your father did, or you know, I mean, they were around it the whole time.
Now, does he monetize that? I mean, does like the TV stations pay him money?
Oh, Discovery was the one that backed him, I think. Discovery Channel backed him, and
tremendous amount of courage. Whatever the motivation, just tremendous courage.
I'll tell you, mental fortitude.
Guy would probably make a great trader.
Talk
about nerves of steel. Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to see what he eats for breakfast. That's what I want. just trying to get start my day that same way. Okay, let's move over to the Euro. Now, just as a little teaser, we have a very important trade set up in the Euro that's happening right now in our institutional setups. If you want to come listen to that, you're more than welcome to. You can give us a call, 888-231-4702. This is not a day trade. This is an overnight position that will take us into next week. I will tell you that it is on the long side of the market. There's a very specific price that they're going to be running to next week. It's a very nice setup and trade. This is an example of some of the types of setups that we look for every day in this in these longer term, meaning multi-day and sometimes even multi-week trade setups. It took me a long time to be able to, and believe me, it's everyone's different, but in some ways everyone's the same. I believe that most people who are day trading, which I still do, we all still do, that can be difficult to do the transition into overnight, and probably is difficult to do the transition into overnight and to longer term. So just be ready for that. If you haven't done it, it can be a difficult transition to make. It also requires the proper margin. You can call Bert Schlichter at Daniels Trading, 866-928-3310. He'll give you all the margin requirements. And he's a very nice, easygoing person. He'll talk with you, chat with you a little while, and then he'll demand that you open up an account. No, I'm just joking. But
I'm putting that number in the chat box, guys. Bert's number, toll free. I'm putting it in the box.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Bert used to be on the program with us, but then he got really busy with people like you, the listeners, and he's answering the phone calls and giving out information. So anyway, the Euro trade is very interesting. I can't go into more detail, and I'm sure you can respect that this is for subscribers, but I do want to tell you to start looking at your own stuff for the long side. There might be a very good setup there. Another market that is very interesting that those of you with reflected wave know about is the daily bottom that was due in August crude oil. That bottom was due on June 24th. That's today. Clearly, they bottom. We're looking for a multi-day advance in this market. One of the benefits of reflected wave as a tool amongst other tools that you use, one of the benefits is that it can give you an edge on the timing side of the market. You can know in advance that there is a turn due and be picking up some of the early indications from price that the turn is underway and keep your risk very small while the formation of that turn occurs. And often, like today in crude, you can be in really good and have the market running, and you can really have a good start to a trade. Crude is really pressing up higher here today. We've mentioned before, and I'm going to repeat it again, our bigger picture for the crude oil market is still bullish for much higher prices in the summer here. So that may begin from this daily bottom that we're having right now, this June 24th daily bottom. Moving beyond the crude market, we have a couple others that are important. I'm not dealing with silver right now. We're going to leave silver on the table here. Let's take a quick look. We're also keeping an eye on the Australian dollar. This is something that we're keeping an eye on because they're very close to an important juncture. I've been quietly watching that market, though, because I've mentioned before there's some big people that are in that market on the short side, and we're being careful with that market. And then real quick, in the U.S. – oh, go ahead, Dwayne.
I just wanted to see – I was looking over here at the questions. I hadn't looked at the question box in a few minutes. There was a comment made way back when we were talking healthcare. Pre-existing conditions can be shopped in 100 days or 99 days now. That's – remember we were talking about that a few minutes ago?
Yes.
But then there was a question from Mike G. I apologize if this is a repeat question. I got pulled away from part of the show. With us hitting the S&P highs of 2007 – will we be bouncing higher for some weeks? Mike, let us finish up here with where David is on these markets, and then we'll go back and we'll take a look with him at the S&P. Okay.
Let's do that. No, that's fine. We'll take any other questions as we get past this point here. Okay, so with regard to the dollar today, we obviously the euro is very close to a bottom. The dollar is very close to a top. We had identified 83 100 as a very important resistance level. They got up to 8305 today, and they're selling off very nicely. This is probably going to be a multi-day decline, but the bigger picture for the dollar is bullish. So we believe that after this decline occurs, we would like to, if we're not going to short the decline, we do want to buy something a little bit later here during the pullback. Okay, a couple other markets, and then we'll be through here. We're leaving cocoa and copper alone here today. I do have, there are some things that are going on in a couple of different markets here, one of which is the soybeans. I know Michael had some trades in the soybeans today, or let's see, today is Monday, yeah. So soybeans reached an important level on the downside for us at $14 and change. They're reacting off that level. We're not doing anything with it right now because we're looking for a little bit longer-term trade in it, but we may do something with soybeans, so we're keeping an eye on that. One other market I want to repeat that we this is a trade that's setting up in our institutional stuff, so I have to leave it open-ended to you, but natural gas, which is a market that has extreme volatility, the S&P wishes it could be as volatile as natural gas. This is a market that really moves, and we're very close to a very important juncture on the downside in this market, and we're just waiting for a little more confirmation of that. So keep that in mind. Other than that, I know that we also have, since we have Robin with us here today, she'll want to talk a little bit about soda.
I'm just looking at an article right now. Mm-hmm. It's had a pullback today.
Yeah, it continues on the pullback that it's had for a little bit here. I don't have anything really to add to soda. Dwayne, if you want to throw anything in, I don't know. But
let me just bring up a chart. Let's see what we got here on the daily. Come on. Well, I guess he didn't like that. Let's try it again. Soda. International out of, this is an Israeli company, guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got, was there news? Is there anything? We're down $3.
No,
5%. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but it's had a big run up. So, and it's a very, very, very strong market right now pulling it down. So I think given that it had the run up and then we had this overall pullback, had really good press on Motley Fool on Sunday, the 23rd, and, you know, saying that it really has shaken up the industry for both Coke and Pepsi that have been the leaders for decades. And
I'm surprised that one of those companies have not tried to buy it out.
Well, they may have.
Yeah.
You know, they may have.
Oh, that's right. There was that rumor, wasn't there?
Yeah,
there was. And Pepsi denies that they're in any kind of discussions, but...
Now, it says something that they might have some kind of a relationship going on with Kraft on the syrups. So that could be big, too, because that's a huge... Kraft is huge.
Does Kraft own the syrup recipes or something?
No, but they're looking for a partnership. They certainly have...
Well, they've got the distribution channel, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. So I think something's going to be on the – this is like a Tesla. This is like breaking into an industry, changing the way we think, recycling, you know, doing something, whatever, even though soda's not great for you. I saw the first thing this weekend on I think it was the president of – I think it was Pepsi, if I'm not mistaken, saying that they're trying to be more responsible – and not have as much sugar or something. I don't know, something about the diet thing. So
now, are you talking about the lady? I believe she's from India.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know, I caught the tail end of it, and I said, oh, now they're trying to be responsible after pumping so much sugar into the kids. Now they're trying to be responsible. So I didn't get the whole thing, but clearly there's pressure on them. You know, there's pressure on them from the diet industry. There's pressure on them, you know, from obesity. There's diabetes, everything.
The world just does not get it when it comes to this sugar thing. Our kids, we're pretty were pretty strict regarding their sugar intake. And at church, they know in Sunday school that we're pretty strict with our kids' diet. I mean, our kids get plenty to eat, wholesome, nutritional food, and we've asked them, you know, we prefer that you don't. Well, yesterday it became a bit of a, of an issue because, I don't know why, but for some reason, every Sunday at Sunday school, they feel compelled to give these kids some kind of insanely sugary treat. You know, not only is the sugar not that good for them, but we're getting ready to, it's the time of day when you're getting ready to go and have lunch, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of families like to have a nice sit down dinner on, you know, lunch on Sundays, kind of a family thing. And so my son, you know, he comes in during, the service to ask my wife, "Hey mom, is it okay if we have popsicles?" And she said, "No, I'd prefer you didn't." And so he got a little, you know, bummed out because he had to watch the other kids.
Well,
and somebody would look at us and go, "Well, God, you guys are awfully cruel." Well, no, I think the people running the Sunday, we go there to have get their spirits fed, okay? We can take care of their nutritional needs, thank you very much. I don't need you pumping my kids full of donuts with sprinkles and all that, you know. Well, for some of the kids, that's why they come, to get the treat.
Yeah,
you know what?
Exactly.
Well, you need to rethink the program. That's the only way you can get them there is with a donut. Come on. I mean,
my goodness.
So
it's
one of the Sunday school
when
teachers.
You're trying to teach them. It's a challenge when you're trying to teach them a lesson and teach them good behaviors like that. That's a challenge.
And you would think that you would get the support of the educator. We have the same problem in school. You know, they want to just. Emily's teacher last year kept this big, huge jar of candy on her desk, and every time one of the kids, it's like, you know how you train a pet? You know, when a pet does the right thing, you give them a treat.
Pavlov's dog.
Exactly. And I said, "You will not train my child using this method." But yet, my child has to sit there and watch the other children be trained with that method. So, we're really considering this year, and it's, boy, this is a tough decision, but there's a really high quality home learning type school. It's not where I'm teaching the class here at home, but it's where the kids would attend. 75% of the class is from home using a computer. Mm-hmm. There's an instructor, and with the laptops we have, you know, there's the camera so they can see the teacher can see them, the whole. We might try that this year. We haven't made up our mind. We're wrestling with it. So, I understand the drawbacks.
Homeschooling can be pretty popular. There are times where they pull the kids together, you know, so that they do have the interaction with the other children.
They still have to have those social interaction skills. That's
absolutely. No, it's a challenge for any parent out there. I don't know how they do it with everything that they get bombarded with between the social media and the games that are death, destruction, and all that stuff. I mean, we never had any of that stuff. I mean, if we were caught with candy at school, we'd be punished for it before when we were in school. It's like you didn't have it.
Oh, yeah, and the thought of a soda pop in school, no way. You didn't bring it in your lunchbox.
Exactly.
They didn't have vending machines. And I think now they've passed some laws that they've taken the soda pop vending machines out of schools. I don't think they allow that anymore. So, anyways, I guess, you know, many would say you're being too protective, you're overprotective, you're creating more trouble than your health. And I don't know, and sometimes I question myself, you know, should I just give up? Should I just surrender? Should I just, you know?
No, it's the health of your child, you know. It's the health of your child. And, you know, if I have to tell you, I'll give you a perfect example. My nephew, who was raised with, you know, not having a lot of sugar and things around it, is a raw vegan at this point in California, and he hasn't suffered from it, being a raw vegan, and that's an extreme.
Yeah, that is.
You know, that's an extreme. It's tough on Thanksgiving.
But if you ask my kids, like right now, if we said, "Hey, we're going to go out to eat, where would you like to go?" one of their top choices is a place called Super Salad, where you go and you get a big salad, but they also have different soups, and then they have pizzas, and they got tacos, and you get to go and fix your own stuff and pick and choose. But they know they got to eat the big salad first, and then they can go and eat the other stuff, and they really like going there, you know. So we're getting through somehow, somewhere. Oh.
Well, Dwayne, I think that's everything we've got. I'm going to go get some Twinkies and just get down to work here. A couple things, just to get something to eat, some nutrition.
Hey, here's Zynga. Take a look at Zynga, guys. That thing got hit hard today. It's down 7%.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, we've broken below the 200-period moving average on a daily chart. This thing's down at $2, and this thing keeps falling, and I'm trying to find the chink in their armor where it's like somebody knows something fundamentally that I don't, and... I keep saying I think it's a good long-term investment. Maybe it's time for me to put my money where my mouth is. I don't know.
Well, sometimes if the stock doesn't or a thing doesn't act the way you are thinking it might, just change your opinion or just do not do anything for a little while. Let's just sit it out.
Wait and see.
Wait some time.
It really is a challenge to look at the markets or a particular stock with so many down days in a row here, because so many other things, like you were saying, David, before, I can't figure out what the heck is moving the market. You know, there are so many influences right now that are global that it is hard to determine. You know, it's not on the fundamentals anymore. Uh-huh. It's certainly not on the technicals all the time. So, you know, you really do have to sometimes be a little bit more patient and, you know, keep your eyes a little bit more open, and then, you know, just set certain parameters and rules for yourself to protect your cash. But it's certainly different. That's all I can say. It's different from what I've ever seen.
Well, I would give this stock a little time to show what it's doing. And listen, the business of investing is the business of being wrong for small amounts of money and being right for larger amounts. Mm-hmm. That's all. And we just, if something isn't acting properly, we just maybe change our opinion or put it on hold. Even just put your opinion on hold for a little bit, and we'll see.
Here's what I'll do. I'm gonna ask Motley Fool if they'd like me to write an article on Zynga. And if they do want an article, that will give me the incentive to do more research, sort of a full scale, deep. Maybe I'll call, see if I can do some interviews with maybe some of the officers of the company and get some feedback that way. I'll take a look at what people are saying on the discussion boards and the chat room, just really get a feel for this thing, because if it is the investment opportunity that I think it could be, I'd certainly like to not only alert everyone, but maybe participate myself. So I think I'll do that. And when I have an article to write and a deadline to meet, that makes me, you know, move a few other things aside and get busy and get it done. So I think it warrants it, because I just feel like there's something really good here. Now, David, we had said for Mike that we would go back and take a look at the S&P one more time. His question was, with us hitting the S&P highs of 2007, will we be bouncing higher for some weeks now? That's the question.
The S&P highs of 2007, the way he questions, or the way he's placing that question is the thing that's throwing me off.
Yeah.
I think it would be better for me to think of this in terms, perhaps, because I'm not I'm thinking more in terms of just a timing point, that next week, this week or next week, is a very important bottom in the S&P on the weekly basis, where we're saying the week is closed, you look at the weekly chart, and the market turns. And, the way I'm viewing this. I'm not really connecting it as much to the 07, which is a long time ago.
Here's what he's saying, David. That was the all-time historic high in the S&P 500 was 1550 put in back in 2007, right?
Right.
Okay, so I think what he's referencing is, you know, we had this all-time historic high. I'm just using this as an example at this 1550 area. Now we've put in new highs at 1680. Now we're pulling back to that area before. So perhaps what he's asking is, what was once resistance,
Right, that's what he's asking.
Could it now become support?
Yeah, definitely, and quite often the market will set up support that's even more local to the market, that's similar to that original setup that he's looking at, which is still valid. The original setup is still valid, but the market will also confirm that by subsequently giving you more local setups that so you have a series of things that set that price or that level, that area, that zone, whatever way you think of it, into a form of confirmation that, yes, indeed, that would be one very important spot to be looking at, because he's starting from all the way back in 08, going, excuse me, 07, and going back to the 15, perhaps what his chart, however his chart reads, the 1540 level. You know, today we've gotten down to 1553. So yeah, absolutely. This is a very important point in price from the perspective of 07, but also from subsequent and more local support. If you were looking, if support is what you're looking for, it's been confirmed a number of times since then that goes along with that. So I agree wholeheartedly that although we might spike below and there's a lot can happen in the next 2 weeks, but if having done that, they firm up at those kinds of levels, absolutely. If the market is random, it would be meaningless what these previous levels are. And we all know that it's not meaningless. And therefore, what the market has done in the past, the market is aware of. The market is aware of what it's done in the past. It's not an unconscious mechanical thing. People are looking at it. It's aware of its own past, and it will respond to it. And so I agree with him. I do agree with him that this level and potentially somewhat lower, because the market can spike and flush out and then still in the end say, hey, they closed well, or they start moving above important levels and so on. So, yes, good question, A and B. I agree. And one of the things that I like to do with reflected wave, if I may throw this in, is that I'm always looking for important prices to occur at important turns. So if I'm looking at that as an important price and that has occurred and I have a reflected wave turning point setting up, I have a very ideal situation where a lot of things are coming together under one roof, so to speak. So it can be very useful. So good. And Dwayne, I think for us, that's everything that we have for today. There's quite a bit going on. The market, while we've been talking, has moved up higher, and I want to take back for the time being what we talked about earlier with the market going down to the 1560 level. We still may do something here, depending on what the market does, but we were really earlier talking about if they failed around 69 to 70, they didn't, they were able to get through that, then we would have taken that. Now we have a different kind of setup underway here. We've had a very good bounce off of today's lows, and we'll trade this and see how this plays out. Always remember to use a protective stop in your trading. Put that in the market, learn to do that every single time, and you'll be around for many, many, many years. You won't be somebody sitting at a bar saying how you had it all right except this one time when everything went wrong. That should not be how you're investing and trading. They shouldn't be able to take it all from you in one trade. If they are, you're doing something hideously wrong, because it's totally unnecessary to put yourself at that kind of risk. So just keep that in mind, and remember, it's okay to be wrong. The sin is to stay wrong. That's the sin. Not being wrong, but staying wrong. So, how you doing? There you are. Anyway,
this thing also comes with a whiteboard. So along with being able to draw on the chart, David.
Dwayne, would you draw me a little happy face there, just so that people just know that we're really very happy. There you go, a little square happy face.
Oh, gosh, I don't really know how to use this.
Okay, all right. I thought you drew all those other lines that are on there, though.
I did. I just don't remember.
Oh, little right-hand corner, top right-hand corner up there with all the drawing tools.
Robin.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. There you go.
There's a happy face. This is Dwayne Reed's happy
face. Very good.
There you go. Come on.
Very good. Now you just need this on the tablet with some.
Oh, that's adorable. The X's as eyes. Now, how is that not lovable? Come on. Look at that. That's just downright.
What a great self-portrait.
Oh, that is good.
Oh, I got to give him a little mustache there if you're going to do it. Oh, boy, that's getting bad.
Oh. Okay. All right. Well, that's good. I thank you for letting us know that. That's an interesting piece of software, Dwayne.
Yeah, it really is. I'm probably going to splurge and spend the whole 30. I'm going to get my 30 days free, and then I'll spend the $29.95. So.
All right, well, good. Well, we'll be back tomorrow. Robin, do you have a quote you want to throw out real quick?
Yes. Quote is...
Ooh, look here, guys. Go ahead.
It is a fine thing to have ability, but the ability to discover ability in others is the true test. Invest in the human soul. Who knows? It might be a diamond in the rough. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Very good. All right, then.
All right. Well, very good. Well, thank you, Dwayne. Thank you, Robin. Thanks, everyone, for the questions. We'll see you here tomorrow. We'll be back. Look forward
to it.
Thank
you, everybody.
Have a wonderful afternoon.
All right, guys. Take care. I'll see
you
tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Alright, guys, that's going to just about wrap it up for us. If you have any questions about anything we didn't cover yet, then go ahead and type it into the chat box, and I'll hang out for a minute, and I'll answer that question. But I'm going to have to head on out because I got a couple things I got to get done today. Sort of a big day. Once I get all this, I keep referring to some of these big days as something I'm trying to put together. Once I get it all done, I will... I'll share it with you because it's quite an interesting story. Matt asks, can market makers see your stops, which causes them to intentionally run them? Well, Matt, in the world of E-mini futures, there are no market makers. That's in stocks and equities. But the E-mini futures, which is one of the reasons I moved from equities to E-mini futures, it's purely electronic. It's what they call FIFO, first in, first out. So if I'm one guy in Phoenix, Arizona, trading one contract, I have the same clout as Goldman Sachs with an order for 10,000 contracts. That's how the story goes. And as far as we know, that's exactly how it's played out. We don't ever hear about any improprieties or whatever. I mean, there's always a discussion about the high-frequency trading and how that's affecting the markets. But as far as the issues that you have with market makers and that type of thing in equities, we don't have that problem here. Now, the thing about running stops, okay, let's say everybody's got their stop up at, let's use this as an example. Let's say that we had a tweet last night, which we did, to get short at 75, okay, which gave us a couple great trades. Now, let's say that based upon that short, we all chose to put our stops up here at 1581. In order for whoever they are, to run our stops, they've got to move price from 1575 all the way up to 1581. Now, that's 6 points, or handles, as they would refer to it, down on the floor. That's 6 handles. What's a handle? Well, it's $50 per point. So to move it 6 points, let's see, which from 75 to 81, 6 points, 56. So you would need $3,000 in margin. No, I'm sorry. Now you got me confused. You got to move the market 6 points. What's 6 points worth? At $50 a point, it's $300. How much does it cost to trade one contract intraday? 500 in margin, okay? But now the question comes in, how many contracts would you have to buy to overcome any selling pressure that exists to actually move it the 6 points? This is where you start to do the math and to figure out what sort of money would it take to move price from where it is now to where it would, quote unquote, run their stops? And then once you accomplish that, how does that benefit you, and to what degree does it benefit you? Okay. So not saying it's impossible, not saying that it couldn't be done. What I question is the amount of money it takes to move something as big as the S&P that many points, and then what is the payoff and the payday? So, we have an ex-floor trader who, by the way, hey, Fry, I haven't heard from you today. He's going to come on and start doing a show with me, Tales from the Pit. We're going to kick that off maybe this week, maybe next week. We started a new show Friday, Releasing Kings, the podcast. Episode 1 was done Friday. It's on the blog if you missed it live. We did an hour and a half. It was great, or I really enjoyed it anyway. The author, John Garfield, is also a CFRN partner. Okay. And we just had a great conversation, a great time. And the book he wrote, Releasing Kings, we're going to work our way through the entire book. Basically, Friday was just a get acquainted sort of a show so that you would get an idea of who he is as an author and a Christian and as someone involved in marketplace ministry. Okay? Beginning with, now we're going to do this every other Friday, so it won't be this Friday, but next Friday will be episode number 2. We're going to just kind of start at the beginning of the book and work our way through the whole thing. It's more than a book. It's a ministry. It's a movement. He travels. He does conferences. Do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Not me or him. Do yourself a favor. Go to releasingkings.com and grab yourself a copy of the book. Okay? It's very affordable. I think it's maybe 10 bucks. Don't quote me on that, but I was impressed with how affordable. I've got a copy here. Maybe there's a, I don't know if there's a price printed on it, but yeah, the printed price on the book is $12.95. So I think I'm right. And he co-wrote the book with someone I met a couple weeks ago, Harold Eberle. He's not a partner, but John is. So go to releasingkings.com, check it out, and then go to our blog and listen to the podcast from last week. So we've got that new show. We have another new show that we're starting up this week. Prosperity for God's People, Seeking Biblical Prosperity in the Digital Age. That's about all types of business opportunities. And then we have Tales from the Pit, which we'll be doing with Fry. I don't know if that's going to be the official name. I got to check. Probably that sounds like something somebody would have already used, so I need to come up with something original. But Fry was a floor trader for many years. That was his career, and he's just going to come on. We're going to do like maybe one show a week where he recounts some of the stories from the heyday, and I'm really, really looking forward to that. Now, let me go over here to the – so that took care of – yeah, Mike G., I hope that helped you out. And Keith, yes, you're right about the sugar. And let's see. Karen, where would you buy now or short now? I assume that you're talking about the S&P. I'm watching 1575, okay, because important areas are almost always tested. We've already had a test here, okay? We broke 75 to the downside last night. We had a 10-point move down. Then we came back, tested it almost to the tick. We went one tick above it, and then we got a 22-point decline, okay? So the first move down, 10 points, second move down, first move 10, back to test 75, second move 22. What I'm looking for here, Karen, is the opportunity to short 75 again. Okay, and I need to get that tweet out. So just you guys, I'm going to, how do I want to do this? Let's do it this way. Let me get my screen up. Okay, let me get logged in here. And before I go, I will put this link into the chat room for you guys in case you don't know how to get to the Facebook page. ESU3. Important area. 1575 now being retested. Consider being short below. Okay, when I hit this, that'll put it out on Twitter as well. So we're going to look for this to get reversed, come back down. Now, we can go look at our 4-tick range chart to get a trigger. So when I say consider being short below that number, you don't have to just sell that number. You can wait for your slingshot to get turned around and give you an actual trade entry based upon the setups that Michael teaches you each and every day in the live trading room. We've had some really nice trades on the way up here, it looks like. Look at that, just bouncing off the BBC again and again and again and again. Eventually, the market will take a deeper retracement. And the question is will that retracement turn into a reversal? Now, take a look at this. See right here? See this little crossover right here? This is where the ball changed hands. The Bears had the ball, but right here, the Bulls took it back. See, the Bears got the ball right there. Now, this is short-term stuff, the 4-tick range chart, not a 4-tick chart, but a 4-tick range chart. Right there, the Bears took the ball. They got it down the field a little ways. Looks like, a point or so. The Bulls took it back. They ran it up, pulled back to the BBC, took it up for another leg, pull back, another leg, pull back, another leg. Look at that. See how these legs are getting, each leg is getting a little shorter. Okay? That's waning momentum. Now, this may be the final little thrust here. We'll see. But if we get the red and blue line, which is the CFMA1, the backbone of the indicator set, if we see that cross and get below the BBC, that's our first indication that the Bears have the ball once again. And what are they going to try to do? They're going to try. Hey, Bernard. Sure. I'll be happy to spend some time with you later today. Okay, so that's what we got to wait for. Now we go back and take a look at the hourly. Where will they try to take it to? Well, the first spot would be this low, and then, of course, this low. But now look, this thing looks pretty bullish. I mean, they're getting a nice little run for their money. So where? I guess since I've already tweeted it, I can take that out. Now price is moving up. So what are the obstacles to this thing to just keep going? All right. Right there. Now, use your imagination. Last night, this was a great big green candle. There was no wick. At one point in the life of this candle, it was just a great big green bullish candle. And buyers were able to push price all the way up to 1580 and a quarter. Now, this is coming off these highs at 90 and 96 back on Friday. Right here is where Globex starts. See how this was the final little push up before everything collapsed? Right there. Final move, and then boom. Couldn't do it. Gave way. Okay? And on the first swing, we dropped to 1565, 10 points. And then on the second drop, we got all the way down to 1553 and a quarter. Okay? So, going north, we look left, and we see where there was no more buying support above 1580 and a quarter. Notice how price, we were moving up pretty strongly there. Now, the market's remembering what happened last night. Buyers and sellers are remembering what happened last night. Sellers made a very nice trade. What are they thinking right now? Well, I sold 1580 and a quarter last night and I did really well. Let me at least try selling it again. And even if I don't take it all the way back down to 54, maybe I can get a little something out of it. Okay. See, if enough sellers come together and they all, and I'm not saying they're emailing each other, they're not in a chat room somewhere, they're all in their own little world having the same little thought. Why? Because they're humans, they're men, they're women. That's how we're wired and how we think. So you can see sellers coming in right now. Let's go back to our four tick range. Look at price. Price starting, it's challenging the BBC. The black line's about to drop, or it's trying to drop below. There we go. Okay, that's the first step. Now we need to see the red line, the CFMA1, cross below the BBC. Here at the cycle, it's red, it's headed down. Okay, that's what we need for a short trade setup. See, are these going to cross? Are we going to get the bearish cross here? Remember, when the red line crosses the green line, the MA1, backbone of the indicator set, crosses the BBC, the bears now have the ball. Their objective is to run it down the field. Now, maybe they can't take it all the way down. That's okay. But if they just try, if they can take it back to here, or even here, so we're at 77, that's 68. Is that 9 points away? No need to rush, no need to be in a hurry. Be patient. See if it sets up. Don't have to dive in now. Just wait. Okay. What if the sellers are not able to pull it off? Well, they've already pulled it off a little bit. Okay. They've already drove price down a little. All right. But we're looking for something a little more substantial, right? But let's say they fail. Okay. Let's just say that the sellers fail and there's more buying pressure than there is selling pressure. And a lot of these people who sold over here, I mean, they could very easily change their mind and today decide they want to be buyers. That's the beauty of trading E-mini futures. You don't have to be married to the short or the long. You can change with the market. Let's go look at our tweet from last night. Because it was a two-stage tweet, okay? At first, we sent out where'd it go? Yeah, let me just pull it up on the Twitter side. It'd be easier to find. The market has perked up. Consider being long above 87. Originally, the tweet was consider being short below 75 if the opportunity presents. Then I said, markets perked up, consider being long above 87 if the opportunity presents. The short side is still valid. And what that means is we're not ruling out going short below 75. If that opportunity presents, we'll take it. If price gets above 1587, we'll take that. Okay? See, we don't have this bias where we got to be long or we got to be short. We want to be on the side of opportunity. That's all. So what was that number? 1587. Let's go look at that. That number was good for me last night. Is it good for me today? It is. It is. Now, we just sent out a tweet that said, important area now being retested. Consider being short below 72 if the opportunity presents. I was in a hurry. I didn't finish my thought. Okay, so the new tweet. I bumped it down a little bit. Why? Just to put a little cushion in there. Okay. I don't want to see 75 get spiked, but then the market's really not serious. Show me you're serious. Give me 72. If I wanted to really make sure the market was serious, okay, I'd come down here. I'd get a little bit below that swing low. And that's not a, then that could be a potentially a good place to take profit. If you get in at 72 up here, consider taking some profit here and or adding to the position for a move down to here, depending upon entries that you get on the slingshot. So, in fact, 1587, what's the swing high? 92. What's this? 97. So see, between this swing high on Friday, 92, and this swing high, 97. There's 5.25 point room to run between this swing high and this swing high. It means we'd be getting in about here. We need to have at least a 1 point of cushion. So that's going to leave about 4 points, 3 points. Now, if we get in at 87 and we only make it back to this swing high at 92, that's 5 points. All right. So that's what we'll do. We'll go with the same number from last night, 1587. 1587. Okay. And we've already established 72 on the short side. So we're back up here testing 75 again. Now let's go look at the four tick range. Four tick range. From the swing high at 80.25, okay, it got pushed down to 76 so far. We had a bearish cross. The bears took the ball. Now look what's happening. Let me blow that up. We may get, you know, a little bit of a battle going here, a little bit of choppiness. Let's see what happens. If we get a confirmation and price right here can close back down below the CFMA1, we've got bearish divergence. If we can get a close right here below the MA1, that's confirming. Now price pulled back up, but it hasn't crossed yet. So if it just rolls over and heads down, I'm going to be pretty interested in that short trade. Well, just cross to the upside. See? So you see how just this little, the noise, we don't want to get caught up in that noise. So that's why we've said if it gets above 87, we'll consider being long. If it gets below 72, consider being short. Okay. And that's where we're going to leave that. Now I need to go back over here real quick. Yes, you, Sri. Also, consider being long above 1587 if the opportunity presents. Now, you guys understand what's happening here, right? You've been invited behind the curtain. Remember Dorothy, the little dog, the scarecrow, and the guy, and all of them? The man behind the curtain? Okay. This is my humble attempt to demystify the markets for you. Okay? I don't want to daze and amaze you with my ability to read the market and put on a trade. I want to teach you how to do it. In fact, I wrote about that. Was it Friday night? See if I can find that real quick. Let's see if this was it. Yeah, I went into some detail here. Oh, yeah. Can anyone learn to read an e-mini chart in this manner, like a newspaper? Most people can. It takes time, patience, hard work, dedication, but yes, most people can. You just need someone to teach you. You need a mentor who is patient, dedicated, and willing to work hard. If it sounds like I'm applying for a job, I am. In fact, we all are, our entire team. Bert and Leslie would like to be your futures and options broker. Michael and I want to teach you everything we know about trading. Why? Two reasons. As any successful businessman, from Donald Trump to Warren Buffett to Elon Musk, will tell you, there's a foundational principle of business to have multiple income streams. To take what we do best and teach it has the fewest moving parts for us when it comes to creating a second and third income stream. The same holds true for Bert and Leslie. While they are the two most talented e-mini brokers I know, they are also most excellent traders. Again, doing what you already know minimizes your exposure to failure, and that's in relation to creating your second and third income stream. The second reason, that we're all applying for a job, okay, our business goals extend beyond creating personal wealth. We are building a community of kingdom builders, which include men like John Garfield, author of the book Releasing Kings, and many others, both men and women from all walks of life. We have missionaries who tonight will sleep on foreign soil. As a CFRN partner, the 2 points you take from your home office each day are the same 2 points that a trader takes from a high rise in Manhattan and the same 2 points that you might take from a hostel in Africa or South America. The army of believers that God is raising up at CFRN has a goal to change the world. Yes, that's a bold goal, but we won't settle for less. To learn more, visit that link, cfrn.net/equity-partners. If you believe you're called to be a kingdom builder, that God created you for something greater than a self-serving life, we should talk. Famous quote by Margaret Mead, "Never let it be said that a small group of committed people cannot change the world. In fact, it is all that ever has." Think about the founding fathers of our country. They were a small group of committed men. And their efforts, plus the grace of God and a lot of bloodshed, has created the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Past performance is exactly that. It's history. Don't trust a spreadsheet, friends. Pie charts, data sets, back tests. I mean, I'm not saying you can't look at them and you can't use them, but you just have to recognize them for what they are. Even if they're true, and I'm going to believe that 90% of the time they are, all right? But you have to ask yourself, okay, how do I know this data set's valid? But then beyond that, is it curve fitted? And how will it trade going forward? It did great over the last 3 months, but how's it going to do in the 3 months ahead of us? Well, nobody knows that. See, all the back testing in the world will not tell you what's going to happen in the future. I'm sorry, but it won't. Is it used as a sales tool? Yeah, but that's why the government actually makes people say past performance is no indication of future results. It's the truth. So come watch us trade real money in real time in front of real people. And we'll never, ever intentionally sweep a failed trade under the carpet. Okay? I appreciate the listener that pointed that out today that thought he saw something along those lines. We love constructive criticism. And I welcome the opportunity to set the record straight. Because the last thing in the world I want is somebody out there with something like that rattling around in their head when it's not true. See, the fact that he was bold enough to give me the opportunity to set the record straight, I really appreciate that. So I'm not mad at this guy for bringing that up. I have a tremendous amount of respect that he was willing to just put it out there. And we had the opportunity to go, well, you know, I don't think so, but if we made a mistake, then we certainly want to correct it. And if you see us make a mistake, tell us. Tell us. Okay? Because we want to do the very, very best job that we can because of who we represent. And I also wrote something in that email last night. Because of our name, the Christian Financial Radio Network, friends, the whole world is watching us. Okay? That's why we have to get up earlier, stay up later, work harder than secular traders, because the world is waiting for us to slip and fall, make a mistake. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We never claim to be the best traders on planet Earth. Not at all. Not by any stretch. We know there's faster guns. We know there's people who make more money. I don't know of anyone who tries harder to be more transparent. Now, there are plenty of other transparent folks out there. I just don't know of anyone who's any more transparent than we are. We do our very best at that. Because we represent him with a capital H, and we represent you. In my book, that has a capital Y. We represent him and you. And we want to do, when I do lay my head to my pillow at night to catch my couple hours, I want to do it with a clear conscience, knowing I did my very best job to the very best of my ability. That gives me great peace. Greater peace than any sum of money ever could. Okay, look at that swing high right there. Look what happened. Okay, remember we talked about sellers coming in? Now, if we were just looking at, oh, I get to use my new tool. Hang on. If we were just looking at that, it might look very mysterious. My, why did price stop climbing there? What happened? But we, whoa. I got to learn how to use my tools. Okay. But see, we have the benefit of being able to see exactly why price got knocked down. Okay. The swing high of this candle is 1580 and a quarter. They've already knocked it down to 75. That's a 5-point trade right there. It happened as we were talking. Okay. Remember we said we needed to see the bearish cross, okay, which we got one, and they ran it back up, put in a lower high, bearish cross again, okay? Now, off that bearish cross, which is the, it's a little power area right there, it's where the ball changes hands, we got a move from 77 and a quarter down to 73 half, okay? The pullback happened here, okay? And so the first close below the trend line was there. This candle opened. This candle opened at 75 and a quarter. And then the swing low was 74 and a quarter. So see, this move here, it only had 1 point. And what stopped it? The CFMA1. It's always going to act as support or resistance. In this case, it acted as support. So if we'd have been trading this live in real time, you'd have heard me or Michael going, ooh, we need a close below the MA1. That's an obstacle to the trade. Ooh, we need a close below this swing low. That's an obstacle to the trade. Okay. As you advance, once you learn the slingshot trade, once you've got that down, you'll learn how to take these kind of trades right here. Okay. For now, focus on the task at hand. All things in time, okay? But remember, we were pretty confident that sellers would come in at this area. And did they come into the tick? Was the swing high? Swing high was 80 and a quarter. What's the swing high over here? 80 and a quarter. You see that? To the tick. This trade setup, this entry was defined last night or early this morning at 2 a.m. Chicago time. This morning you could have said, hey, I'm going to go do some golf or go to the mall or whatever it is I do. And then I'll come back in the afternoon, and when price gets up around 80 and a quarter, I'll look for an opportunity to get short. Why? Because I know that that area is a high probability setup for a short trade to at least get a couple points. Now remember what we said. Once the sellers take the ball, they might not be able to drive it all the way back down to the swing low at 54. But if our goal's a couple points a day, we don't need them to. We need them to do exactly what they did. And now if they fail, see, their failure is our success. Okay, let me go to the chat box real quick, and then I got to run. I know there's got to be a couple questions that I've missed. Okay. And if guys, I really do have to go straight right now. So if you've got a question that I've missed, please type it in again real quick, copy and paste it. Homer, the name of that software again that I was showing you, it's called Presentation Assistant Ultimate. I've got to make a phone call, but I'm going to leave the room open with the charts going. I'll type the name of that. In fact, I'll just leave it up here. Okay, I'll just leave it sitting right up here so you guys can see it. You can go on the internet, and it's get a free download, 30 days, and then if you want to buy it, it's $29.95. But you don't have to give the credit card to take the trial. You only have to give the credit card once you decide to buy it. Okay. Karen, so you are not thinking long at this point. Not yet, Karen. If price can get above 1587, I will consider being long on a short leash because at 87, I'm staring over here at this swing high, 92. From 87 to 92, I've got 5 points room to run. That's plenty of room to run to try to get a couple points, okay? If it gets through 92, then the next obstacle is up at 97 and a quarter. Okay. Great question. You guys have lots of great questions here lately. I'm really, really happy to see that. Hamilton, thank you for your kind comment. I'm sorry you've already left. I can't thank you for it. EF, do you use fibs at all? I do use them, EF, and I use them as a confirmation tool, not as a standalone trading methodology. I wish I had more time. I would go into some of it right now. But if you're on the free trial, I'll show you some stuff maybe tomorrow morning in the live trading room. But tomorrow, I think I'll have more time, and so I'll hang out after the radio show, and I'll be happy to show you how I use fibs, EF. Now, I spent a couple of years studying fibs full-time, trying to turn it into a standalone trading methodology. Honestly, I gave it my best shot. It just didn't work out for me. But now that I'm using it in the manner that I think it's really, you know, best suited for, and that is as a confirmation tool, it really is very beneficial. In fact, I showed earlier on this daily chart, where'd that thing go? This is an ES daily chart. Okay, look at this. This is a great example. So I can scrunch it up enough. We want to go here all the way back to November. Of last year, this swing low. If I grab a fib and I pull it from this swing low to the most recent swing high, we hit a 38% retracement today. Looks almost like to the tick. Now, if we go back into May of last year, pull that whole leg, let's see what we got. From May of last year all the way up, ooh, this looks good here. See, we've got a 38% retracement and a 50% retracement lining up in this area right here. If there was a weekly trading zone right there, I'd be really excited, but there's not. Okay, there's one just above it. Okay, so. This is a kind of an idea for you of how I use fibs, EF, and also do this. Google CFRN and then the word fibs or Fibonacci. It'll take you to about 5 different articles that I've written. Some are on our site. Some are on a couple other sites. They've got charts and a lot of detail on how my whole philosophy on using fibs. What it took me 2 years to learn, I can teach you in about 15, 20 minutes. I'm not saying that I know everything there is to know, but everything that I do know, I can convey to you in the time it will take you to read those 5 articles and look at the charts that are in those articles. For those of you that called in today and you got the email, you called in, you left the voicemail, whether you said something that made me blush or you had constructive criticism, I thank you very much. If you did not get the email, or if you just haven't had time, I'm going to put it in the box, 415-857-5654, CFRN feedback line, 415-857-5654. If you could take just a couple minutes and just call and, you know, you could say, hey, this is Joe from Idaho. You know, you don't have to give us your last name. You don't even have to tell us your name if you don't want to. And don't leave your phone number on that message, okay, because I might want to share that message later, and I don't want to put your phone number out to the world. But if you just say it's Joe from Idaho, you know, then unless you're not Joe from Idaho, then that would be confusing. But you get my point. We would love to hear your feedback because we really do want to provide you with the very best training, education, and radio program that we can. CFRN is now in its 8th year of broadcasting. Okay, and I believe, by the grace of God, it's gotten a little bit better every year, and I'm really excited to see what God's going to do over the next couple of years. Okay? And EF, I'll see you tomorrow morning in the trading room. If you're there, Otherwise, come to the radio show and we'll go through some more fib stuff. I'm going to leave this chart here on the hourly, guys. And when I finish my call, if I don't have to leave and go out to a meeting, maybe I'll pop back in. All right? Okay. So, thank you so very much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with his mercy and with his grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.